across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Amy, would you... Because if I do another trick with Pete, we're going to get the reaction of...
Oh, I haven't seen them all. What a surprise.
Oh, yeah, you know him. Would you... Now, I don't know your... I don't know if Amy's religious background, personal background, she might find magic offensive, as some people do. Do you find magic offensive?
Well,
Dirk's thing, yes. Would you come in and turn a microphone on and come and join us? And it's on. Perfect. Thank you. Come and join us. Amy, who is answering the phones tonight and is doing a great job.
I hope no one rings now.
Don't worry. They're not. do you mind if we do this, Amy? Pete's going to do a magic trick.
Hi, Pete.
Perform, monkey.
I bloody will. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
How's it going? I'm Pete.
I do know you.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Amy, have you got anything in your hands? No.
No.
Can you put your hands out like that for me?
Her hands are flat out in front of her.
Slightly further apart and slightly lower down, actually. Yeah, perfect. And in your head, can you think of one of your hands? So do you either think right or left?
Okay, yeah.
In fact, yeah, you can tell me which one.
I can tell you?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, drop your right hand down. So relax your right hand. With the other one, do this. Okay, so
what this is
make
a fist.
Okay, because that's going to make what I'm about to do more difficult. So,
her right hand is down. I'm being professional here. Her right hand is down in her lap. Her left hand is closing the fist. And yeah. I have to say, that's not a karate fist because she's actually got her thumb inside the fist.
If you punch someone with that, clean up
you punch someone that, you break your thumb. Yeah. But I don't think you're going to punch Pete, so we're safe.
Is not
we're safe.
The karate trick. Right, so what I'm going to do now, I've picked up my pen.
He's got a Sharpie pen.
I'm going to draw something on my hand. I'm not anywhere near her hand. This should be stressed. He's drawn a little cross, a little X. Can you see that?
He's drawn a little X on his hand, just off centre.
Yeah. And I'm blowing on it to dry it because it is permanent ink, and I want you to be sure of that. That doesn't like go. Do you want to rub that and see if it right wipes off? It doesn't,
no,
does it? No, it's permanent ink. But imagine if you could take the ink, right? And this is Ian. You don't have to imagine it. You can watch. Imagine if you could take the ink
he's peeling
and pull it.
He's peeling
hair,
it off. He's peeled
right?
it off.
So there's no longer an X on my head. And imagine if I could hold that X as if it was an object. And if I could, without touching it, if I could just throw it in your general direction.
But he's about a foot away from her, and he's just thrown nothing at her.
Turn your hand over for me.
No.
Yes.
Is it
going to
be there?
Let's have a.
Oh my God. Dirk, are you listening? That's the reaction to a trick.
Yeah.
My God, yes, the X is in exactly the same spot that it was on your hand.
Yeah. And is there anything left on my hand?
It's gone.
Yeah. Does that rub off your hand? It's dry ink, right?
Oh, that's a tattoo. That's there forever.
Yeah,
sorry,
ever.
I should have made that clear.
As soon as you're going to pay for the removal.
Did you feel it? Did you feel that going on there? Did you notice anything?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Freaky, man. Amy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Pete, how did you do that?
So, what it is, Ian, I've got a selection of spells and charms. I've got a bag of charms here and amulets. I try and pick out the most sacred-looking amulet.
How many virgins did you have to sacrifice to get this gift?
It's hard. You lose count, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
How is magic doing these days? Because it was probably about 8 or 9 years ago. Magic was... When were Penn and Teller doing their show?
I think it's still running. Yeah, but it was in England for a bit.
Hosted by Jonathan Ross.
Jonathan Ross, yeah. And then now it's in America.
It's in America.
And it's hosted by that woman from American Pie, who said one time at Bandcamp, that one.
Really?
I think so.
She's hosting it.
Well, if not, then it's just someone who looks vaguely similar to her, and my brain's gone probably her.
But because then the BBC had a magic series that I didn't think worked quite as well, where they would have teams of magicians teaching celebrities tricks.
Yeah.
And magic was hot. It's one of those things that comes and goes in terms of TV exposure, you know. And but for me, as you know, I'm a huge fan of magic. I become a 12-year-old kid and I start giggling in it. And I've seen you do that trick before with Amy, but I've seen you do that trick before.
But still,
I'm like, oh my God. And when Amy says, before she opened her hand, it's not going to be there, is it? I love
that's
it.
That's the moment.
I love
isn't it.
It.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how you do it. And I'm going to keep asking, but I'm so glad you won't tell me. Where are we with magic at the moment in terms of it being popular with yeah. TV people? And
well, actually, something that we talked about maybe a couple of times ago when I was on here, when I came to see you, was Magic for Humans, right? The Netflix thing.
The
second series of that has just come out.
Oh, has it?
So I'm looking forward to I've downloaded a couple to watch on my phone.
I believe
they
say it's dropped. It's dropped.
It's dropped. The season, sorry, not series as well.
Season two has just dropped.
Yeah, so that's
literally
the most
recent. Enjoyed that.
That was fun, wasn't it, the first series?
Yeah.
There was DMC Beyond Magic on Netflix, and although I think he seems like a lovely guy, I didn't really enjoy that. Do you know who DMC
no,
is?
No, he sounds like a dick.
Dick Munchers Club, better than what you thought.
Thank you
for going along with it.
I think
he seems lovely. And
how do you join this Dick Munchers Club? Because I'm bisexual now, and I would totally be up for membership for that. We'll discuss it off air.
You got to go into my sex club, and then he seems like a lovely man, but. Yeah.
What is it about that show that doesn't quite work for you? Because I've not seen it.
No, so it's a kind of a street magic show where he's going around the world. There's been a few shows like this where you go around the world doing magic in different places. It's very stylish, but for me, to the point of boredom, it's all like long exposures of traffic going by and sunrise over Cairo or whatever, and it's like I decided to head out and get to know the city before I.
Okay, that's the persona he's gone for.
Yeah, but I've done stuff before where I've been made to read that sort of voiceover over stuff, and I've cringed while I was doing it, and I thought that I've decided that's not me, and I'm not going to do another show like that unless it pays really well.
Unless
I just don't have anything else on, or probably if
the trick is the star of the show, and the magicians have their own. You know, I remember when David Blaine came along, and everyone was like, "Whoa, okay, it's not just old white dude." Dudes with bow ties and stuff. So there's a bit of it, but I just want to see tricks. And that was why Magic for Humans was great, is because the guy hosting it was actually had a great personality, but it was tricks.
I think it is both though, isn't it? Because you can have a really good trick, but you can have an obnoxious magician, right? And being a magician, you realise most magicians are obnoxious magicians. You know, we've talked about this before, how I think it's a certain personality type that gets into magic.
Yeah. Oh, losers.
100%. There was not one magician working today who's not a loser and a dick.
Your show in Edinburgh, you said that there was one night, in fact, the night that I think Paul McCartney's brother came along to see your show.
Was it Paul McCartney's brother?
I told you that, Mike McCartney.
Oh, I didn't know he was actually Paul McCartney.
Oh, you thought
brother.
That was a joke?
Yeah.
He's Mike McCartney. He's actually...
Okay. But no, he, it turned out it wasn't the night. I think he came on a fine night.
Oh, okay. Because he tweeted that he really enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't have enjoyed it.
Right, because there was one show you did in Edinburgh where the audience was small.
It was 12 people.
And they were all magicians.
Yeah, 12 people in 160 seats of room. Yeah, so it was half of them were magicians, and they all knew. Obviously, even though some of the tricks they hadn't seen before because they're my original ones, they kind of know where it's going to go because they're magicians, right? This is what they do. And the other few people were professional comedians. And there was one other guy who was just a guy, and that's why I thought maybe it was this dude.
Yeah.
The Macca. And it was just
tough crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, also like, and with the best, they weren't horrible, with the best will in the world, they were like trying to sort of smile and go, and act impressed by stuff, but it just wasn't, it was never going to be
anything.
They
weren't sat there with their legs crossed and notebooks going,
No, they were applauding and stuff, but it was crushing. just the fact that they came on that night and they assume, I imagine, that every night is like that. You know, like, so my cool comedian mates who are like, oh, they're finally coming tonight. Okay, great. They come along and it's like, is this?
Yeah.
Because when they heard it with what venue I was in, like 160 seats. Wow, you must be doing well. they come and they're the only people there. Okay, I get it.
Did it go all right, Edinburgh, though?
Yeah, it did. I mean, otherwise, apart from that day, I think it was good even. I didn't get anything out of it in terms of sort of reviews or profile or whatever, because I didn't, probably for various reasons, but I didn't have a press agent, and it seems like you need one now.
You do these days.
Yeah, which I didn't, like, the last couple of times I did it, I did fine, and I got loads of reviews and stuff, but
you need a press agent, or you just need a little bit of luck as well.
Just a good show maybe.
Yeah. We need to, I need to
I'll try that next time.
Don't push yourself too hard. 0344 499 1000. If you want to talk to Pete, or if you just want to phone up and talk the usual old bollocks that we talk on a weeknight. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Take a trip into the alternate reality of Late Night Radio.
I think I'm in something like The Matrix, and so are you.
The Late Night Alternative.
Hello, hello.
With Ian Lee.
Is there anybody out there?
On Talk Radio.
Hello.
But there's one ever so slight... Well, one story, it's about Jeremy Corbyn that kind of got me today. And I don't want to talk about Jeremy Corbyn, although I will to introduce the story, but then we can go off on a slight bit. He's recorded an interview with, I cannot remember her name. I think it's for the BBC. Yeah. And I think it's being shown tomorrow. But the bit they've released is him talking about the Queen's speech at Christmas.
Right. Oh, yeah, I've heard
that. And she, let me see if I can find it. It was on, I saw it on Twitter. It seems, you know, in an age when we've all seen politicians destroyed because they've forgotten numbers. Remember, it was the woman who got some numbers wrong and it's
Diane Abbott.
Diane Abbott. And the fact that years later, that's the thing. Politicians get numbers wrong, they're hounded. Maybe rightly, but I tend to think kind of wrongly. I tend to think you're doing a lot of interviews. You can't be expected to have all the numbers. If you make a huge blunder, okay, fine. And then there have been examples in all parties where people have got something wrong or have said something. You think, okay, fine.
Is this the Judy Etchingham thing for ITV?
Yes.
Right.
That is it. And I'm wondering if... Have you got it in front of you?
I've got a thing from The Express talking about it.
Here we go. Here's a track. Can I read the transcript, okay? Because it's not political. I just think it's odd that this is what they've gone for. Julie Etchingham, talk to us a bit about Christmas in the Corbyn household. Do you sit down to watch the Queen's speech, Mr. Corbyn? Jeremy Corbyn. It's on in the morning. Usually we have it on some of the time. Julie, it's not on in the morning. It's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Corbyn, it's when it's repeated in the afternoon. Etchingham. So you don't sit down as a family to watch the Queen's speech? Corbyn, we don't watch television very much on Christmas Day, maybe a film in the evening. I'd like to do a bit of exercise on Christmas morning. Etchingham, you do some exercise on Christmas morning. I don't think the Queen's speech is in the morning. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when everyone watches it. Corbyn, well, our Christmas is sometimes... You don't watch it, do you, Mr. Corbyn? There is lots to do. I enjoy the presence of my family and friends around Christmas, obviously like everybody else does. And I also visit the homeless shelter either on Christmas Day or the day before to talk and listen to people's lives about how they could be made better with a government that cared for them. So he doesn't watch the Queen's speech, right? It's obvious he doesn't watch it, right? My interpretation of just reading that, I've not seen it. My interpretation is he got asked a question and he got caught on the back foot a bit. He bottled it. Instead of saying, no, I don't watch it. And there are lots of people like me that don't watch it. And it's great that it happens and it's a great tradition. And if people want to watch that, they're entitled to. But to me, family and friends is something like that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in saying.
Ask me if I watch the Queen's speech.
Do you watch the Queen's
speech?
Sometimes
I forget.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, it's slightly different in that he's kind of told, it's that thing of, you sort of tell a small lie, is maybe too strong a word, you say something, but then you realise you've got to keep expanding.
Yeah, it feels like he didn't realise that was going to be an important question. He thought it was a pleasantry. He kind of smoothed out a response and then realised he'd been caught.
Yeah. But now here's the thing, is now... Jeremy Corbyn doesn't watch the Queen's speech.
Is anyone surprised?
Come on, guys. That's not a thing. Watching the Queen's speech? First of all, he's a Republican, from what I know. Well, I certainly would imagine that he is. But I bet you tomorrow the Conservatives will be making a big thing about, well, he doesn't watch the Queen. He watched the quiz. Of course, Boris Johnson in the debate said the royal family is beyond reproach.
Mm. No, he said the institution.
Thank you very much indeed. The monarchy.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're absolutely right. Which, you know, with current news stories about Prince Andrew, they can't be. And it's just, we got loads of Luke, Ollie, Val and Pete. I will come to that.
Here's the thing. The people that care about him watching the Queen's speech won't care about him going to see... Well, no, that's not true.
They won't be voting for him anyway.
They will think he's virtue signalling by talking about going to the homeless shelter.
Yeah, yeah. It's just struck me. Obviously, we got to be careful about what we say and stuff. But it just struck me that that's the thing they're leaking or they're trailing for the interview that's going to be shown tomorrow. That's a really odd thing. The question is, do you watch the Queen's speech? Because I don't. If it's on, my mum used to like watching it when I used to have Christmas. I don't even know if my in-laws watched the Queen's speech. I don't think I've ever watched a whole Queen speech. I've been in a room when it's been on, but who watches? Hang on a minute.
My gran used to love it.
The question isn't, do you watch the Queen speech? The question is, who the hell watches the Queen speech? That's the question. Who watches?
Here's the thing. The Queen doesn't watch it. It's pre-recorded.
Yeah, exactly. and the issue with this is, okay, he's been caught telling a small lie, a white lie, a mistruth. Jeez, I mean, that doesn't mean he's going to, you know, put his hand in the till. It doesn't mean anything.
No.
It means he was a little bit inept at answering that question, when actually he could have been really honest and people, some people would have berated him and some people would have gone, all right, yeah, fair play.
Yeah, as far as I remember, watching certain things on television isn't policy. But I must check that.
It's who the hell watches the Queen's speech? There we go. If you want to answer that, you're more than welcome to. We've got a load of calls now. Evening, Des.
Hello. Hello there, Cass. Hello, Ian.
Hello,
All right, Des, what you got for us?
Yes, it's a non-story, isn't it? It's a non-story, this constant, the way they're picking on Jeremy Corbyn.
Hang on a minute.
The media have got out for him.
No. Well, some of them. Well, hang on. Some of them.
They are.
Des, if you'd have some manners and let me speak, I can.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. Just, you know. Yeah. Some of them have. The majority of the printed press in this country is of a right wing bent. That's a fact. I think the only sort of two printed newspapers that are left leaning are the Mirror and the Guardian. I think that's pretty fair comment. So yes, in terms of the printed press, but Boris Johnson gets quite a lot of flack in the press. Have you not seen that?
No, it's not in the same.
Well, but
we're talking about also the way they're picking the smallest detail.
Anti-Semitism isn't a small detail.
This is rubbish. He's not an anti-Semite.
I didn't say he was an anti-Semite.
But by picking on something...
Anti-Semitism is not a small...
Not something.
Gosh, Des, you're a very rude person.
I haven't said it's not small.
Well, but anti-Semitism is not...
But you're mentioning...
Could we have a conversation, please, mate?
Okay.
I'm mentioning anti-Semitism because that is one of the things that Jeremy Corbyn has been singled out for. Not for being anti-Semitic himself, although it could be argued that he is. I saw that mural that he gave the thumbs up to. But certainly for the way... He has not dealt with anti-Semitism in the Labour
rubbish.
Party.
That's absolutely
which
rubbish.
Which bit was rubbish,
Des? He's not. The bit about, I'm not going to go into the big, because it's the whole, you know,
which,
the whole
which bit,
area.
Which bit
we're,
of
we're
what I said,
to, we're
Des?
We're going into the politics.
Jesus. Des?
You've got to be able to criticise Israel without being called an anti-Semite.
Yes, and you can do that, Des. But which bit of what I said was rubbish?
No, I'm not saying what you're saying.
You did say that was rubbish.
I'm saying that the way that he's being portrayed in the media and the anti-Semitism smear.
No, there's not a smear. Who's doing the smearing, Des? Who's doing the smearing?
The people who are running the right wing agenda.
Say it. Who are the people doing the smearing?
Everything from Andrew Neil to the Daily Mirror to the Daily Mail.
The Daily Mirror is a left leaning paper, Des.
The Daily Mail, I said.
Who controls that media, Des?
In the 1930s.
Des, who controls that media? Who controls that media?
It's nothing to do about who. It's rich people who control that media. It's those who follow a ruling class ideal.
It's not any group of. It's not any group. It's people who are helping each other.
Do the Jews control the media?
No. It's nothing to do with Jews and all this rubbish.
Well, anti-Semitism is. Are you suggesting?
That's a separate issue. People who control the
Des,
media.
Are you suggesting?
Can I just finish?
Can't answer my question.
No, yes,
because that's how it works, and you've been very rude so far. Are you suggesting
that's what you say? Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's what I say because it's true.
It's not true. Because you're continuing a smear.
I'm not saying it.
You are.
You're not listening. Des, I'm the right wing media. Okay, fine.
No, you're not.
Thank you. I'm actually being very impartial. I've not said anything. That mural he gave the thumbs up. I saw that mural. That was anti-Semitic.
What mural? You explain the mural.
You know the mural, Des.
No, I don't know the mural. You tell me about the mural.
So you phoned up to talk about something you don't actually know a lot of the main facts about.
I phoned up to ring about...
There was a huge anti-Semitic mural.
That's the reality.
There was a huge anti-Semitic mural that Jeremy Corbyn...
What is the anti-Semitic? Could you explain, please? What's the anti-Semitic?
You've seen the picture, haven't you, Des? You know what the picture is.
No, I haven't. I'm trying to get these facts. People.
Well, go and look online, Des. It's not my job. It's not my job to educate people.
But then you're continuing assumptions, which
it's not an assumption. It's a fact. He gave a thumbs up to an anti-Semitic mural.
And this is what they're saying about, you know, the little thing about not answering, which was my original call, listening to the Queen's speech has been suddenly blown out of proportion.
I think anti-Semitism is more important than whether or not you watch the Queen's speech.
No, you brought that up.
Yes, because
nobody said it isn't important.
You talked about...
You're very rude, Des. Islamophobia and the racism
Des, you're very, very rude. You're very, very rude.
Well, because you don't like being answered back.
I don't like rude people who are too thick to have a conversation.
You have to listen as well.
And what I'm listening to is a load of old bollocks.
No, I could say the same about you.
Well, you have a choice to switch the radio off.
Yeah, it's not a point.
And I would suggest you do that.
You're continuing a smear without realizing it.
It's not a smear. It's not a smear that he approved.
Well, what's this mural? What's this mural? You don't even know the facts yourself.
I do know the facts.
You're willing to educate.
I do know the facts.
You can't have it both ways.
Des, I know the...
You can't have it both ways.
I don't know what that means. That's irrelevant to this conversation. I do know the mural. I've seen it.
Can you explain the mural?
There was a huge anti-Semitic mural, which I'll describe to you, even though I suspect you've seen the picture.
I haven't seen anything. I honestly tell you that Jeremy Corbyn approved.
He liked it. And the picture is a group of men with big old-fashioned hook noses counting money. Go on, Catherine.
It looks like they're playing Monopoly on the backs of people who were bent over.
Yeah. And is there a Star of David there or not? I seem to remember, but
no,
there may not
there
be.
No, there isn't. There's the all-seeing eye above
the
them.
All-seeing eye. And they're following the old-fashioned meme of the big hook-nosed Jew with all the money controlling the world. That's anti-Semitic, right? That's a fact. And he later
recognised it was anti-Semitic. This is according to the BBC. He later said he had not looked at it properly, calling it deeply disturbing and anti-Semitic.
Well, then he has rejected it, hasn't he?
Not initially, and it was only after people called him to. Des, here's the thing. Yes, there is Islamophobia in the Conservative Party. It is outrageous that they said they were going to do an investigation into it. They have not done that, and now Boris Johnson is saying they will do that if they get back into power after the election. That will be one of the first things they do. I think that's outrageous that they've allowed it to drag on that long. But if you are denying that there is anti-Semitism within the Labour Party, then you, my friend, are part of the problem. Yes, you are allowed to criticise. You are allowed to criticise. Des, will you shut up, you rude man? Shut up! Tell you fade it down. Yes, you are allowed to criticise Israel. Of course you are. But if you are suggesting that criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic, you're wrong. But there is huge problem with anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. And you keep shouting that there isn't, doesn't solve it. Daniel's saying, sorry, but I'm with Des on this one. Well, you're wrong. The facts are there. Des, well, I've not really enjoyed talking to you. You've been a very rude gentleman. I suggest you go and listen to LBC.
Thank you, Mark. No, you need to listen, mate.
Or...
No, you need to listen.
Go on then, tell me. Go on, let's be late for the news. You tell me, go on.
Okay. Racism, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, all of it is wrong. Okay?
Correct, yes, correct.
The point is that with this, with these little things that sexual...
Oh, do you know what, Des? You're talking a lot of old bollocks. For goodness sakes, you're part of the problem, mate. 03444991000, this is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with that man, Ian Lee.
There's no strangers here, just friends you haven't stalked on Facebook yet.
Have never sent my picture to anyone who didn't request it.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yes.
Good evening, Ollie.
Hello.
Hello, Ollie.
Ian and Cass.
Hello.
I can't believe you had to go at correspondence when you had a correspondent on the line waiting. So
we had Pete on.
Rude.
But Pete was not a very good correspondent. He doesn't even watch the show.
Yeah. But then...
What? Are you a correspondent?
I'm the Mars correspondent, aren't I?
All right, well, I mean, Jesus Christ. Okay. It's time to get a stroppy, ill-informed, stupid, factually incorrect Mars correspondent update with...
Ollie.
With...
Ollie.
Well, I should have brought it up because I haven't actually got any...
Oh! There you go, told you. What a waste of our time. That's our Mars correspondent.
Ollie.
He's a complete waste of time.
Ollie.
You got to give me a break because it's, like, been dead for a billion years, so...
Yeah, after the war.
No, I didn't have... Anyway, I didn't know if I was going to be serious to begin with because I had something silly, but then you brought up the Jeremy Corbyn stuff and I totally forgot about the mural. I'm echoing as well.
That's your problem.
I totally forgot about the mural stuff.
Yeah.
And, I remember that being ridiculous. Like, it's so obviously...
I think I saw that mural. I think I drove past it at one point. And driving past... I'm sure I did. I certainly drove past something with someone in my car and went, oh, my God, did you see that?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was that.
And it was like, oh, I didn't notice it was anti-Semitic. And it's like the whole
pretty,
propaganda. It's like in 10-foot picture.
Yeah, if you didn't recognise it, that's also a problem.
But he saw it on the Facebook. Now I'm going to be fair. He saw it, am I right? He saw it on a Facebook page. So he wasn't looking at the 10-feet square picture. He was looking at a picture on his internet. Now, I would say that the picture is so offensive that you would still struggle to miss that. You know, even a cursory glance would see that there are so many tropes in there. I said memes earlier, I meant tropes. But that was his argument, was that he saw it on a Facebook page and that is not the same as standing in front of it.
It was a Facebook post by the street artist that did it. The artist was asking why the image faced destruction. And Corbyn said, you know, he sort of sent something that appeared to support it remaining.
It's a crap election because it's like, I feel like I have to let go of some of my sensibilities because I care about people in poverty. I care about NHS and stuff like that. But I do care about the anti-Semitism. And that does worry about
me. I've heard a lot of people say that their vote this year will be a compromise. A lot of people from different sides of the field say that the vote they cast, there will have to be a little bit of compromise. Not everybody, a little bit of compromise, and it may be even a little bit of holding their noses as they make their mark on the ballot paper. We're in a really weird political time when it could be argued that none of the leaders are really... getting the home runs that they should be getting from any of the parties. I mean, my favourite is the UKIP launch on...
Oh, okay.
The UKIP launch on Sky News. If you know, it really is, you know, as Matt Lucas said, it's like your mum is in charge of UKIP for a day, and I would thoroughly recommend you go and see that.
But it is all getting reduced, or the danger is that it's all getting reduced to personality politics.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just weird. Since Brexit, since Trump,
yeah.
I've never really understood politics, and now I don't have a clue what's going on. I mean, I'm finding it actually quite interesting, but I don't really want to live in interesting times. I want to live in quite dull times where, you know, things kind of just chunter along a steady, old, boring pace. I don't know. It's a weird thing. What else did you have for us, Ollington?
I have got dirt on your favourite leader.
I don't have a favourite leader, Ollie, as you know. During the times of Purdah, we are impartial. I do not have a favourite leader. I do not fancy one leader more than any of the leaders. I fancy all of the leaders exactly the same.
Okay, well, in other news then, Jo Swinson, there's a scandal brewing that she might have catapulted stones at squirrels.
Oh, God! and Corbyn's going, thank God, that gets me off the Queen's speech thing. Hang on.
Is that true? Because at this point now...
I don't think that's true. I'd heard that before. I think that's a fake... That's a fake tweet, isn't it, that's doing the rounds?
I don't know, I saw it today, and apparently there's pictures going around as well now. I think it's turned into a giant meme of her hurting squirrels.
Ollie, Catherine is Googling it and is finding out. I think that was a fake tweet that was doing the rounds about 10 days ago, and maybe it's popping up and rearing its head. But here's the thing, right? I just don't know what to believe anymore. And also, the truth doesn't really matter. Because you say something that's untrue about one of the leaders, right? That will then grow and will fly on Twitter. And after about an hour or so, people go, well, no, that's fake. But it doesn't matter because the people that wanted to hear the lie have heard the lie and have bought it. Go on, Catherine.
It is fake. This is according to...
There we go.
Let's have a look in The Guardian.
Ollie's spreading fake news. Who'd have thought it?
Joel Golby talks about this week's biggest Twitter controversy.
Twinternet.
Jo Swinson's squirrel problem.
There we go.
It says, how am I meant to explain to you as a civilised person that someone online concocted a bit... Jo Swinson kills squirrels and then mocked up a screenshot of a mirror story with a preposterous byline by Warren's Telephine that explained in detail that Jo Swinson kills squirrels. And in this article, by the fake mirror, she's calling them pleb bunnies. I mean... and then a whole faction of online jokers had followed up with more fake stories about violent and historic hatred of squirrels and photoshopped squirrels lying prone under the wheels of her bus and that it was all fake and this is dangerous and deranged but also hilarious. How do I explain to you that as a normal person, how do I explain to you that that's something that's happening?
Do you think,
though... Ollie got suckered in by fake news.
She told LBC, I like squirrels.
Yeah, do you think that by saying something that you're giving it oxygen and that you're...
No, you're giving
it
oxygen! You phoned in with it, not us!
You phoned in as if it was real.
You said it was a true story! I fact-checked! Ooh. I called you out and Catherine fact-checked you! So don't blame us!
Yeah, but there might be a little bit of truth in there. You know, people say
we got Donald Trump on the line! Bannon!
She might want to give him squirrel the evils. We don't know. We can't prove that.
I bet she's got a squirrel in her pocket and
she's... Go away! What a scumbag! Can you believe that?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Just, I've been listening a lot recently to, Guy I like to call Barry Manilow.
Because that is his name.
Yeah. And I think tonight's show is dedicated to Barry Manilow, okay? And I can't think of a better way to start it than... I've been trying for hours just to think of what exactly to say. I thought I'd leave you with a letter or a fiery speech, like when an actor makes an exit at the end of a play. And I've been dying for hours trying to fill up all the holes with some sense. I'd like to know why you gave up and you threw it away. I'd like to give you all the reasons and what everything meant. Well, I could tell you goodbye or maybe see you around. just, we've lost the key there a little bit. I don't think that version. I don't think that version was in the right key. We're going to go into another key. I may also have started an octave too high. And if I may say so, Catherine, your faces were disrespectful. There we go. There we go.
Oh, good.
Here we go. Has this one got lyrics? No. Okay, but do it. Hang on. Google the lyrics. I've been trying for hours just to think of what exactly to say. I thought I'd leave you with a letter or a fiery speech, like when an actor makes an exit at the end of a play. And I've been dying for hours trying to fill up all the holes with some sense. I'd like to know how you faded and you threw it away. I'd like to give you all the reasons and what everything meant. Well, I could tell you goodbye, or maybe see you around with just a touch of a sarcastic thanks. We started out with a bang and at the top of the world. Now the guns are exhausted and the bullets are blank. And everything's blank. If I could only find the words, then I could write it all down. If I could only find a voice I could speak. Oh, it's there in my eyes. Can't you see me tonight? Come on and look at me and read them and weep. No, it's no big surprise. Though it's somewhere to tell you to see. Oh, it's there in my eyes. Can't you see me tonight? Come on and look at me and leave me weep. Hang on. Hang on. There we go. There we go. I've been whispering softly, trying to build the cry up to a scream. This isn't, yep, okay. We have been whispering softly, trying to build a cry up to a scream. This is for you, Catherine.
Oh, please don't.
We let the past slip away and put the future on hold. Now the present is nothing but a hollowed out dream. And I've been dreaming forever, hoping something would eventually come. I saw your eyes in the dark, I felt your kiss on my lips. I traced your body in the air until the bodies were numb. Well, I could tell you goodbye, or maybe see you around with just a touch of a sarcastic thanks. The rooms are all empty, the candles are dark, the guns are exhausted and the bullets are blank. Everything's blurry, oh, it's there in my eyes, and coming straight from my heart, it's running silent and angry and deep. Oh, he's there in my eyes, and that's all I can say. Come on, look at me, read it and weep. Well, it's there in my eyes, and coming straight from my heart, running silent.
Oh,
and no big surprise. Ooh, read a man. Look at me now, I'm crying, baby.
Dedicated to Barry Manilow. Not written by Barry Manilow, but...
That sounded like Meatloaf.
It was, it, well, Meatloaf did it. Yeah, I'm gonna give you that. It was on my Barry Manilow greatest hits.
No, I meant the way you were singing it, sweating, sounded like Meatloaf. Like that.
I'm a very versatile. James should have me on his
on
music
Thursday, yeah.
Half hour Thursday. Because, you know, the guy tonight was great, but normally they're awful. And it really kills the vibe for my show. Amy can't agree, but normally they're awful. But if he got me in as my own warm-up act, that would be awesome. 03, I feel good. Ooh, no, none of that. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. We haven't got any calls on the switchboard. We're just going to wait. Let's just wait. We're just going to wait for the first call to come through. Can you believe the boss of wireless phoned me up yesterday telling me how much he loved me? Can you believe that?
Had he heard you sing?
No, he hadn't. I'm pushing the limits. Pushing the limits of what's acceptable on the wireless.
See if his love is conditional.
We're going to take some calls straight to air just to get the vibe going, okay? So 03444991000 is the phone number. Please don't phone up. I mean, if you want to phone up and congratulate me for my singing, then please do. But I'd rather that you didn't. I think it would be unfair on the listener.
Shouldn't encourage him.
Shouldn't really encourage. If it's an overwhelming compulsion, I'm powerless to stop. I'm powerless to stop. But here we go. Here's a call. Let's just see. I hope they're not phoned up to big me up too much. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Congratulations, Ian.
Thank you very much indeed. I did say please don't phone up and say that, but she did.
Late night conversation, wealth-losing sleepover. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
David?
Bad news.
What's happened? You split up with your missus?
I've not got a missus.
Okay, well, you split up with your baby mummy?
No, enough of that.
Blimey.
I'm back. I got arrested.
You're bi?
I got arrested.
Oh.
Uh-oh. What happened here?
Long story, if you want it.
Not really, but the only other call we've got is Rainbow George. Isn't that right, George? Yeah. So carry on.
Walking home from the meeting that I have with my paranormal mate.
And what's the name of the group?
Rather than Medium. I can't even move around. I'm too
Rim.
Distressed.
It was
Rim.
It was Rotherham.
Yeah.
Institution
of Mediums.
Independent Mediums.
Rotherham right. Independent Mediums. Rim.
Rims.
Yeah. Yeah, Rim is, right.
Oh.
I
should
be crude about it,
He's not
gosh.
In a good mood, is he, tonight?
No.
Okay, so tell us what happened.
Hey, Mark.
Mark?
I don't know. That was
Did you hear that voice? I thought that was someone talking to Babbers.
I didn't hear anything.
Mark,
I don't like
it up.
To be rude to people, but gosh.
I try to find the thing that,
You're a cocaine addict?
No.
No.
Are you?
I'm not.
Okay,
Fanny?
No.
Are you?
I'd like to borrow some fleas. Please be in bed.
Here it is.
I'm going to blow bubbles up your chuff. I can't believe I said that. That was a different Babcock.
Had you been entered by someone else?
No, and I hadn't been in jail. I'm going to blow bubbles up your chuff.
You should be in bed.
That's a scene at David's house. It is disgusting. Please get to the point of this, because we've got Rainbow George next, haven't we, George? Yeah. Go on, then.
Right. I was walking home from the Rim meeting.
Yes.
And I
how many Rimmers this week?
The usual four. Right. I saw a cat. Little cat.
Yes.
Walking down the road.
Yes.
And so I said, hello there, little fella.
Right.
Would you like a little stroke? Would you like a little stroke? I'm going to blow bubbles up your chuff. I didn't say that to the cat. It's disgusting.
Zumba!
Right. Then the cat shot up my penis.
What?
It was a...
So many questions. One...
For those that are slow amongst you, obviously it was a ghost cat.
Oh.
Right. Thank you. Yes.
So I'm there panicking because I'm only used to things going up my bum. I've never had something go up my penis.
Okay.
And I start to try to coax the cat out.
Oh, God. Right. Yes.
And so I'm
yes.
clawing at my jennies. And I'm saying, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
In my experience, if I want to get my cat out of the cupboard, I just shake some biscuits.
I didn't have any on me.
So
the police turn up and arrest me. Now, is that fair?
Well, so, how... We've got recording from inside David's penis.
Echoing.
That's not even the worst bit. But there wasn't a real penis.
It wasn't a real penis. It was a ghost penis.
No, it wasn't a real cat that went on my bum.
Yeah.
But penis. Ah.
Right. What? Okay. Can we just get to the point? Because now we've got a lot of calls, so...
Oh, right. Well, basically, I end up in a cell with a guy who keeps repeating the phrase, gonna bum you, and
okay.
I had a really
horrible
night.
Clive, what do you think David should do with a ghost cat in his penis?
Spur it out.
Oh.
I don't know. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it somehow. Can you have an exorcism on your dinkle?
I tried with the hair kitty kitty.
Okay. Just leave a bowl of food out by your balls.
Take a trip into the alternate reality of late night radio.
I think I'm in something like the Matrix, and so are you.
The late night alternative.
Hello, hello.
With Ian Lee.
Is there anybody out there?
On Talk Radio.
Hello.
03444991000. Half an hour to go. Good evening, Vic.
Oh, hello, Ian. I was just ringing. I listened to your show. I've been blocked by you before, but then you unblocked me, I believe, because I mistook the way what your show was all about. But anyway, what I'm ringing up about is you mentioned docking dogs. Now, whether you made a joke of it or not, it's not a joke. It's dog's tail is an extension of their spine, basically.
Right.
And it's very cruel to be cutting off dog's
tail. It looks so much tidier.
Oh, well, cutting off some people's heads would look a lot tidier
Let's not be silly, Vic. That would create a literal and metaphorical bloody mess, and that's offensive. But no, docking dogs' tails, it's an old tradition, and it just looks so much tidier. It's safer in the home. You've got these big tails knocking things off the coffee table. It's terrible. I'd suggest, this is just a suggestion. I'm not saying we should do it, but we should dock tails and naughty dogs, we should remove their back legs and replace them with wheels.
Oh, that's really funny. Okay.
In the same way that your sense of humor gene has been removed from you, I would suggest we remove dogs' legs and replace them with wheels, Vic.
Well, unfortunately, with your Twitter. You seem to lose your sense of humour, Gene, and you just cut off people that aren't part of the mutual...
Vic, I blocked you because, for whatever reason, I don't really remember you. Then I unblocked you. Listen, if you've got beef because you got blocked, then say that. Stop banging on about docking of dogs' tails.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Can I just say one other thing? Okay.
What have you really called in for, Vic? Because I've got a feeling there's something underlying here that you just say
okay.
Let it out, Vic. Come on.
the jungle. There is no jungle, unfortunately, left in Australia. Where you filmed, let me, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Oh, God.
I believe.
Okay, Vic, well, why don't you phone up the producers or ITV? It's got nothing to do with me. I was on a reality TV show 2 years ago. But the fact that
but
you
it's
don't
not reality,
like
reality, because it's not.
No, it's not. It's you know that reality TV
it's
is
41
not,
kilometres from the Gold Coast.
What would you like me to do, Vic? What would you like me to do, Vic? You don't understand the concept of television. How I don't really know how I can help you.
Unfortunately, I do. That's
unfortunately,
why
you don't. Reality TV is not reality TV is not actually real, mate. It's just a phrase that's used for entertainment programs. I know there's no jungle. There's no jungle. I was there 2 years ago. It's taken you 2 years to connect the dots. Are you really that thick? What is your problem, Vic? My God, what an absolute idiot you are.
If we want to swap problems, no, seriously, I understand your show now.
Are you drunk?
Really,
are you
really
high? Have you been smoking weed tonight? Because you've got that kind of slurred, self-important, dull tone that stoners have. Are you stoned, Vic?
Well, possibly.
Right, I tell you what, why don't you call me when you're straight? Because you're really boring, you're slurring, you've got no grasp on reality, you're embarrassing yourself, mate, and I don't want you to embarrass yourself, Vic.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Ian. I'll take that on board.
Thank you, Vic. I look forward to your call when you've not had a toke.
Okay. Thank you. I do like your show, but it's a love-hate thing. It's a love-hate thing.
Here's the thing, Vic. We don't need to know about it.
I don't care. I don't care about you. I don't care that you don't like the fact that I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Is builders being in the jungle and it really upsets you? I don't get the fact that you got mortally offended at a throwaway, obviously joke comment about docking dogs' tails.
Which I counter with saying that it was cruel and they don't do it anymore for good reason.
I don't have to explain the act to thick stoners. Okay. So thanks for your call, Vic. Good night.
Okay, thank you, Ian.
There we go.
But, you know, what was the outcome? What was the desired outcome there for you to go, oh, yeah.
I'm going to hand my money back. I'm going to hand the tens of thousands of pounds back because it's not really the jungle. It's not. It's the woods. But it's not.
Yeah. When they say death drop as well, no one dies.
It's not really reality. No, it's not reality. Doesn't actually mean it's real.
Yeah.
It means it's generally, sometimes it's used to describe documentaries, but generally it's a silly entertainment show, quite often with has-beens. That's what the jungle is. Really.
It's not a jungle.
That upset about.
I do love people, though, ringing up just to point out fact.
Yeah.
From fiction, there just in go. Case any of us were getting carried away or in any way imagining things to be slightly better or more dramatic, more exciting than they are in real life. Thanks for that.
Let's go to George. Good evening, George.
Good evening.
You called back. We were going to go to you earlier and you disappeared.
I thought we weren't speaking anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm not sorry to have broken my word. Ian asked me not to call him anymore and I said okay. But I've been prompted to call and I'm happy to be speaking with you both.
What was you like? Who prompted you to call, George? Was it Jesus?
No.
The baby Jesus?
Jesus is a mythical character and
so am I.
Sorry?
So am I.
Well, John Lennon sang that nothing was real. And
I don't think that was a documentary.
And I associate the nothing with the...
What song did he sing nothing was real?
Strawberry Fields Forever.
No, which song does he sing nothing was real?
Across the Universe, I think.
He says nothing was real.
Nothing is real. Nothing is real.
Nothing's gonna change our world. Nothing's gonna change. Here's the thing: John Lennon was a junkie, wife-beating junkie. Who cares what that guy has to say for himself? I don't.
He was 4 days older than me.
Oh.
And I'm just prompted to go back to where we were at the beginning, and I wanted you both to be in a film.
Yep. I haven't got the time or the inclination to be in a film anymore.
Yeah, this would be a really great film.
Beautiful. I can't.
I want you to play the starring role.
No, thank you. I'm going to pass, but thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't even want to hear what...
I don't want to do it. I don't want to be in a film. I don't want to be in an amateur movie at the moment.
Wouldn't be amateur.
Okay, who's directing it?
The Cosmos director.
Thank you. I would prefer a film. I will be in a film if it's directed by a recognised film director that has credits in IMDb. I just googled The Cosmos. It ain't made no movies.
Really?
Apart from The Mighty Ducks 2, which is not a great film.
And Sister Act Back in the Habit.
Yeah. I'm going to pass, George, but thank you for the offer.
And thank you for the offer.
You really hate it. You really hate it when people say no to you, don't you? Confuses you.
No.
You're like Stanley Johnson. You get confused when people say no to you.
I would like to say something to you that would be get in the newspapers in the next day or two.
Okay, say it. Away you go. I told you stoners are so boring.
No. Don't.
Go on, say the thing that's going to get in the newspapers in the next couple of days.
Fact. A Bible fact. the first two Gospels were written something like 40, 50 years after Jesus was supposed to have been around.
And this is going to get in the papers how?
This is revealing a fact from the Bible.
Have you not seen? No one cares about the Bible in the paper. They care about whether an old man with white hair has seen the Queen do a speech. That's what's important right now.
Ultimately, it reveals that our Creator to be the Joker of Jokers.
Have you seen The Joker?
Sorry?
Have you seen The Joker?
No.
It's a good film.
Is it?
Yeah. It's better than The Irishman.
Yeah. But I just want to get this into a newspaper.
And how are you going to do that?
Well, you will pass it on.
I won't, George. Once, as soon as this show is done, I'm going home, I'm going to go to bed, and then I'm going to get up, and I'm not going to have a shower because I haven't got a shower, and I'm going to take my two baby cats to the vets, then I'm going to bring them back home, then I'm going to go and pick up my boys, and I will have completely forgotten about this. So I'm not going to talk to the paper for you.
I just want to reveal a Bible fact.
Well, then do it very, very quickly.
The first two Gospels
were written 40 years after Jesus.
40, 50 years.
Right.
And in those two Gospels, Jesus prophesies that he is going to return in great splendor, with all sorts of signs in the heavens, while the generation that he's speaking to will still be alive.
Jesus is never going to come back! Jesus doesn't exist! Jesus is a fairy story! Jesus is never coming back! George, let it go! Because Jesus ain't coming back! Baby, the Bible's a nice book. Some bits of it are great. Some bits of it are very, very dull. Some bits of it are written beautifully. Some of it is so tedious and is so badly written. It's a nice little story. George, let it go. What you're telling me is not going to get in the papers. I'll tell you why. One, because it ain't true. Two, it is boring.
What isn't true?
What you're saying, and it's even more important than that, it's boring.
It's not boring.
Yes, it is.
It's a revelation.
It's not a revelation. No one cares, mate. We're not a Christian country anymore. No one cares.
Can I interject at this point? The definition of madness is repeating the same action over and over again and expecting a different outcome. These phone calls came to an end because you are not going to get the result you want by phoning us, George. And it just gets you upset, and it's just frustrating for everyone concerned. So, it's not going to happen.
I'm just trying to give you something that
we don't want.
You could make news.
No, we couldn't.
It's not news.
Will you listen to what we're saying? It's not going to happen, George.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Here we are! You're talking about Jesus, like, and Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Work that fat until it's gone. That's a line from, I think, Nuns on the Run. No, it's The Pope Must Die.
Saying that Jesus is a mythical character.
Brilliant. That's great, George. I'm not interested in Jesus. This ain't the Jesus show. I'm not interested. That's great that that's your belief, and I respect that, and that's wonderful. But
it's not a belief.
George, you're arguing semantics. I'm not interested. I'm not going to tell the press, because they would laugh at me. It's not interesting.
You've got someone speaking on your programme who has linked himself to a biblical
I've linked myself to a picture of a panda knocking one out. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. You've linked yourself using LinkedIn. No! George, it's boring!
How can you say that?
Oh, God, this is
because
bad.
I tell you how I can say it! Because it's very, very dull!
It's not dull at all.
It might not be dull to you, right? But to me, to Catherine, and to the majority of the listeners, how do you know? Because they tweet me and they tell me, it is dull. No, it's my show. It's my show. Take no for an answer. Learn some humility. Learn to take no for an answer. No.
You should learn to listen, Ian.
It's my show. I do what I want.
You should learn to listen.
I can't hear you. Got my fingers in my ears. La, 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 la.
It's comedy.
Exactly! That's it! The show is comedy! That is it! He's got it at last! He's grasped it! Yes, it's pantomime. It's theatre. It's comedy. It's only here for another 3, 4, 5 months. So, George, please, learn to accept rejection. It will set you free!
Ah, you're funny.
I know, it's meant to, well done, you've got it. It's meant to be funny. It's comedy. What you're saying is not funny.
It's not meant to be funny.
No, well this show is.
It's pointing out a
George,
truth.
George, I'm not interested. George, I don't know how many more times to say this, right?
You're not interested in truth.
No. I'm interested in truth. I'm not interested in what you're saying now. I'm not interested in your version of the truth.
Not my verse.
Accept the no.
Accept the no. Okay. As I say, we're part of each other's stories. No. Whatever.
No.
Ollie says this is dull. Really effing dull.
What you're doing, George, now is imposing yourself.
I'm not imposing myself. I'm trying to reveal.
But we've declined politely and forcefully, and you still won't listen. George. And please, also, could you do me a favour and stop emailing me this stuff?
I don't email you anything. I email Ian stuff.
But we both get those emails. We're both in charge of that email account.
And it does come through to my work email.
Sorry.
It's fine. Just stop doing it.
George, listen, no is the answer, but thank you. But no, I'm politely declining. Thank you.
That's okay.
Is it, though?
It is okay.
Okay. Good, I'm glad we understand.
You're the ones that are going to feel really stupid at the end of all of this.
Well, allow us to.
I will take that. If that's the case, that's my mistake.
Yeah. It's okay. You're not responsible. Neither of you.
And you're not interested.
So, bearing that in mind, and you're allowing us to take responsibility for our own ignorance, can we say this is the last we speak on the matter? You're welcome to phone up about anything else.
About anything else?
Yeah.
There's a band in Northern Ireland called the Barbiturates.
Oh.
And, Their slogan is Barbiturates for a World of Wonders.
Okay.
Check out the Barbiturates.
Okay. All right, George. Thanks for your call. I appreciate
in Northern Ireland.
Okay. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling.
It's okay.
You're very welcome. This is Talk Radio.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yes, line one, you're on the wireless. Hello?
Bacon.
Yes? What was that?
Ian.
I thought you said semen. That's my problem. When people say my name, I think they're saying semen. Oh, I can put people to straight to air with the fader open. That's new. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi, Ian.
Hello there.
My name's Fiona.
Hello, Fiona. I like the name Fiona. There's something very... I hope you don't find this insulting. There's something very comfortable about the name Fiona. I've never met a rude or horrible Fiona.
Oh, well.
That's about to change.
My daughter tweeted you last week to say that I started listening to your show after my husband died.
Okay.
And you sent a tweet back and you made her date. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, that's my pleasure. I do remember the tweet. Remind me what her Twitter name was.
I think it's Megan Jones Gray.
I do remember that. How are you doing?
Okay, I went to the supermarket for the first time tonight because I suffer ill health and so did my husband. And the only time we ever went out was on a Friday night to do the shopping.
Yeah.
And I haven't been to the supermarket since because I spent all my time. He had this wonderful red, white and orange motorbike jacket that he picked up in a charity shop for a fiver.
Yeah.
And he used to wear it and everybody knew very well. You could always see him because I suffer from anxiety.
Red, white and orange. Wow.
Yes.
Gosh, was it leather?
And it had and it had a spine board in it and...
What's a spine board?
You know, the armour in the back.
Oh, wow. For a fiver?
Yep.
Wow. But you could spot spot him a mile off, could you?
Yeah, everybody could. He was so proud of that jacket. He's still in it. He got buried in it. So.
Did he really?
Yeah.
How did you find... Can I ask when the funeral was? Is it... How recent was it?
6 months.
Okay,
so
it's
his birthday on Monday, and he died on the
12th of June. Ah, Fiona, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So still very, very recent. How did you find going shopping for the first time?
Well, the staff were lovely. They were cuddling me and everything because they all knew that he was such a lovely man. He had been an alcoholic, but he'd got sober. He was sober for 3 years.
Was he? So you got to spend 3 years with the real guy then.
Well, I'd known him for a long, long time. He was actually a friend of my ex-husband's. It was 7 years after my marriage had split up that we got together.
Yeah.
But I'd known him for a long time, and I'd known him before the drink had got to him.
Yeah.
And I knew what a lovely person he was. But it was a bad breakup from a relationship and a bad childhood that...
Yeah.
And when he got with us, when he got with me, and he knew the girls, he always knew the daughters, and he was their dad to all intents and purposes. And he tried so hard, and he eventually managed.
But he got it. You had him back to his old ways, his old self, excuse me, for 3 years. That must have been magic.
He was. Everybody got to see the him that I knew, and he was lovely. He would do anything for anybody. But. It was encephalopathy that got him in the end, which nobody ever speaks about, that happens with drinkers. And I wanted to speak about it because your liver gets toxins in it and it sends it to the brain and starts to poison your brain. And you get symptoms a little bit like dementia.
Right, yeah.
So you would forget things and... He was forever going to the toilet, but we didn't need to go.
Did he get a bit shaky as well? It can give someone, sometimes give you tremors, can't it? Like Parkinson's or something.
Yeah, and he also used to get confused and say the silliest things. And then when he got better, we used to tell him what he'd said, and he would always find it funny. I mean, we had a 15-minute argument one day because he wanted to take the dog outside for a cigarette. He meant to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And I kept telling him the dog doesn't need a cigarette.
No, I don't want a dog smoking. Blimey.
And the last thing he said that was funny, we never got to tell him, but he said that he'd watched an interesting documentary on Star Wars.
Right.
And that Darth Vader had found out he was his own dad because he'd been fiddling with himself.
Oh, God, that would make that whole franchise so much more interesting, wouldn't it? That's a great...
Explains the breathing.
Oh, well, he's making us laugh 6 months after he's passed away. That's a special gift.
Well, he got buried in his jacket with his Arsenal top on, and he got buried to Highway to Hell. as the coffin was going down highway like to help us playing.
I like your family. Going back to the shop, aren't some people kind? Aren't some people kind, shop staff coming up and just checking you're okay and giving you a hug?
Yeah.
That's magic.
It was him. He was so, one of the staff said she couldn't believe it because he died on the Wednesday. He'd been in shopping on the Friday night.
Mm.
And they couldn't believe that he was gone because it was so quick. It was really, really quick. He used to go in every few months to get hydrated and get rid of the toxins that were in his blood to stop the encephalitis. And he'd gone in for that, so we just assumed that he'd be out in 5 days.
How's Christmas looking? Who are you going to be with?
Just myself and my girls and the dog.
Okay.
He had no family.
Right.
So it was just really us. My mum doesn't do Christmas. So it's just us and the dog. But we've decided that he always wanted a black Christmas tree, being a rocker. So this year we've got the black Christmas tree.
My God.
And we're changing all the decorations so that it's not...
My God.
...like it was when he was around, because...
Fiona, so
we had a Santa on the door and he used to punch it as he came in the door. He didn't like Christmas. He'd punch Santa on the way in.
Fiona, listen, it's so nice to talk to you. And it's Megan was your daughter that I spoke to on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right. We'll send her my love.
I will do. Thank you very much.
You give us a call anytime you want. And what was your... Can I ask your husband's name?
George.
Well, thanks for telling us about George. You've really made us chuckle, so thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ian.
We'll speak again, Fiona. Thank you. Bye-bye. What a lovely lady, what a lovely family. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And people are nice, though. People in the shop checking she was okay. I'm not going to be honest, that jacket sounds atrocious. But the orange...
But he sounds like the sort of person who didn't give a toss what anyone else thought.
I like the sound of George. That made me laugh a lot. Thank you very much, Fiona. I appreciate that. We should probably take a break. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Who was, do you remember Hue and Cry?
Yeah.
What did they sing?
Oh,
what did they sing?
I don't know, but I wrote it in an exercise book once that Hue and Cry are crap.
Oh.
I don't know why.
They wrote a song about called Looking for Linda, but I've got no idea.
Never stop looking. Never stop looking for Linda. I'm looking out for Linda. Yeah.
Try again, we're
getting hard. I'm looking for Linda. It starts like that, doesn't it?
Never stop. Do it again.
Never stop looking.
Oh, you do that. You do the, when I do the harmony, you jump to the harmony.
I don't,
do
you always do it.
No, I'm trying to do the harmony.
I'm trained in harmonies.
If you play it back, you do the melody.
Never stop looking. Never stop looking.
You went up.
No, I didn't. I'm just doing the normal.
Do I do it, but a little bit lower?
Never stop looking. Never stop looking for Linda.
It's got a bit ragga.
I know why Linda's buggered off. Bloody awful noise.
All right, Stephen. Thank you very much indeed. They're a little bit sort of slap.
I'm looking for Linda.
Looking for Linda. It's two of them, wasn't it? Hue and Cry.
Yeah. Poor Cry.
Smug gits. Here we go. Here we go. Let's have
I'm looking for Linda. Actually, that's not a terrible song.
It's nice. It's a great song. Well, we'll find out in a few.
So Fergal Sharkey, mind.
Oh, man.
That was a recent rediscovery, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was great. Here we go. Here we go. Let's have a look.
I'm looking for Linda. Always a bit,
Baby. I'm baby now. Here we go. I'm baby
Paul
now.
Paul Young. Bit Kermit.
Can whack it up a little bit, Sam. I'm getting there. What's he singing? I'm getting there.
That sounds like Jesse's Jamaican accent.
I'm getting there. He's doing that. So it's a mix of him in a train station, and then when he goes, I'm getting there, he sat at the kitchen, I'm guessing that's Hue, and he's sat at the kitchen table with Cry, and Cry's on like a really crappy little keyboard that fits on the kitchen table.
Just having a sob.
And then it cuts back to him at the train station where I guess he's looking. I didn't know. There we go.
I'm a proper singer.
Oh, Dettender. It's like a doob and dab and go.
Scatman, innit?
Isn't it? There you go. Oh, do you know who he looks like?
Go on.
John Leslie. Isn't it?
Yes!
John Leslie Jr., isn't it? Like, isn't it?
Not looking for Linda, but Linda found me.
That was it.
Linda found the knife and fork she got a fringe with.
I was not looking for Linda, but Linda found me.
I like that fringe. Don't be so harsh on people.
I was not looking for Linda, but Linda found me. Hiding away on the slow train home. Just one for Paisley. All you got to help me. She used to work.
Oh, in the video, it's when they're at the kitchen table, they're writing the song. And then when he's at the train.
Pack of ciggies.
Oh, no!
What does she want?
Oh, no! One pack of ciggies!
Yeah.
Flipping egg! Pounds and one pack of ciggies. Oh, she stole some money and one pack of ciggies. How many pounds did she steal?
Long time ago. 35
pounds and one pack of ciggies.
She spent £35 on one pack of ciggies. I thought they were expensive now.
No, she spent £35 on the. Here's the thing, she's got to spend that money in Scotland because no one's going to accept that in England.
It's legal tender, mate.
She spent £35 on one pack of ciggies.
She used to work there a long time ago. Spent £35 on one pack of ciggies. Running at errands for. Doors. Then she kept running straight down to Leeds Central. Took him to Sydney and left her remorse. Looking out for Linda.
Never stop looking.
Never stop looking for Linda.
Looking out for Linda.
Never stop looking.
It's actually quite a good song, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now they're in the recording studio.
You don't get any baby Lindas, do you?
You don't get any baby pigeons.
Well, you must.
That's because they can't fly.
What, Lindas?
Yeah.
I was looking at Linda. Linda was pleased. She'd been fighting firewall.
Oh, she just smiled and then we saw her teeth. Oh, dear.
80s.
And drinking means only one thing.
So she's drunk and he wants to have it off. She wants
some
it.
Guy was holding her back from the window. I said, a fine man. She said, so arrogant. I will decide when I go or I don't go.
Looking out for Linda. The rain. Never stop looking. Never stop looking for me.
Well, I could do better than you.
No, you can't. Mm-hmm. That's actually quite
never
good.
Stop looking.
You ruined it. This was the other hit, of course. Thank you, Davey. I enjoyed that. I don't know anything. Here we go. Looking out of learning. Yeah. Touching my ball. There we go. I knew I'd get you. You were completely bored, and then I got you there.
But you wasn't so dumb.
Yeah. I like these Scottish white soul boys. Wet. Another reason. I can't remember how this goes.
Get away now. It's a...
My labour. Love! We got a strike. Right. To get into my
This must be like Sam hanging out with his mum and dad.
This is what we're going to be like in the old people's home. We'll have sudden flashes.
Here we go.
We've got my labour of love. You've got a strike for the right to get into
ain't gonna work for you no more. Ain't gonna, there we go.
He's talking about withdrawing his labour.
No more. That's actually quite good. I quite enjoyed
that. It's a tune. Turns out it was a jam.
The ads, have we?
We had it all
wrong. Stuff them. Stuff the ads. I want to go to line two. Good evening, line two. It's Hugh and Cry night here on Talk Radio. What can we do for you, Hugh and Cry? Oh, Jesus, wet like a baby.
It's your turn.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm on here.
Not for much longer.
Nigel, go in the kitchen, please, and lean over whatever you need to lean over so we can hear you.
Hello, it's the curtains on, that's it. I've got one for the curtains to go off. Hang on. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, it's me. I thought you were asking for someone else.
It's you. We got you. What can we do for you tonight? What can we do for you tonight, caller?
I just rang up because my brother has nerved me for a while. And they were a bit annoyed that I went on James Whale's show the other night.
Why would they be annoyed at that? What's it got to do with them?
Well, not annoyed, but they wondered why I went on James Whale. I just thought it would be...
You can go on whatever show you want to go on. If your brother don't like it, tell him to shove it up his jacksie. Tell him it's got nothing to do with him.
No, his wife wondered why I went on it, you know.
Okay, right, well, you, okay.
Anyway.
Yep.
Have you had a good day?
It's been alright. Up and down, itsy-ketsy.
Oh, I'll tell you what's happened to me. My wheel collapsed on my bike. The front wheel actually collapsed.
Oh, no.
And the tyre broke after that. So I had to walk home from Maidstone, which is 6 miles. Walk home. And I got a friend in the village where I live to put a new wheel and a tyre on for me, and I'm going to pay him next week. So that was handy that I had him to help me.
How much is that going to cost?
Only £30 for the whole lot, for the whole thing. That's not bad, really. Yeah, a new wheel and a tyre.
Yeah.
Plus he mended an inner tube that was broken as well.
Yeah, okay.
I usually get a puncture, but I've never had a wheel actually split.
Yep,
you know where the brake. You know where the brake goes round it. In the groove.
Yeah.
In the groove. What happens? Well, that bit wears sometimes, and they can actually collapse. It's the first time I've had a wheel collapse like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Nigel.
Yeah, good job it wasn't me that collapsed.
Isn't it? All right, Nigel. You got anything else you want to say before we move on?
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Sing along.
No, I don't think I will. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Not looking for Linda, but Linda found me, hiding away on the slow train home. This one for Paisley, all you got to help me. She used to work there a long time ago. Spent £35 in one pack of ciggies, running an errand for him and kept running straight down the lead central, took him to city, left her with more time. Looking out for Linda, never stop looking, never stop looking for Linda.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Alan Caddick.
Never stop looking, never stop looking. Never stop looking for Linda.
I was looking at Linda. Linda was pleased. She'd been fighting fire water all that day. She said, me and drinking means only one thing. Whispered that she was too polite to say. The train door was jammed. Back from the window.
for Linda, baby. Never stop looking. Looking for Linda. Linda. Never stop looking for Linda.
Kissing with Linda. Her space became closer. She's wiser than alcohol. Master of men. Such a connection.
It's electric, it's eclectic, it's always rule-free. It's the late-night alternative with that man, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
03-44-499-1000. Good evening, Nick.
Good evening to you.
Nick, what can we do for you on this Christmas night?
Well, it's not Christmas for one, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's a Christmas night.
For you?
For everybody.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
Why are you so miserable? What's your problem with Christmas?
Open your heart, Nick.
What's your problem, scumbag?
Well, I don't know. Christmas is a time for just being cheerful and...
Well, cheer up, then, you miserable get!
Anyway, remember I rang up last week and I said that I wanted to put a voice to that northern voice?
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Talk about me.
Yeah, don't you remember I rang up and said it was a crazy show and I didn't particularly like it, but I would... Google
and here he is again.
Catherine.
Yes.
But don't be thinking that I'm enjoying this. Anyway, I didn't need to because you was on my TV.
God, you're so sour. You're so sour, Nick. Why are you so sour? Why you bring your sourness to my sweet candy shop?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Why are you go away? You're bringing sourness to a sweet candy shop.
Maybe in a couple of weeks when it really is Christmas. I might sing a Christmas carol.
In exactly two weeks.
Yeah, do it in 2 weeks' time. Yeah, that'd be great.
Near a Christmas.
Yeah, do it near a Christmas. 23rd, please. That'd be great.
But I didn't bother to Google Caroline.
You're a horror. Here's the thing, right? As we're on this train, and I can see the buffers ahead of me, and we're approaching the station. Do you know what? I'm going to start telling people what I think. I think you're a rude oik. I think you're a rude oik, Nick, you've got no manners, you're disrespectful, I don't know if you think you're being funny, or if you're being clever, you're not, you're a scumbag, you're a dumb scumbag, this show's too clever for you, you're too thick for this show, you haven't got the brains for this show, you haven't got the wit to keep up with me, and Catherine is an infinitely faster giggle machine than you can ever be, you're a dry, old leaf like they used to use in the Oil of Ule adverts, except no amount of Ule could re-moisturise your dry skin.
Little newsflash as well. I don't care what you think of me or whether you fancy me or not.
I didn't say I fancy you, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly, but you think that's important. You think that's where the power lies.
You were going on about, like in a northern accent and being a little bit like that before, so, you know, again,
why don't you phone
interested.
Up, Nick? Here's the thing, right, Nick? Right, it's a bloke and a woman doing the show. Why have you got to phone up and belittle the woman? Why is that? Why have you got to phone up and imply some form of sexual fantasy and belittle her? Why have you got to do that? Explain that. Why are you doing that?
I will explain it if you give me a chance.
Shut your face. My show. I'll give you a chance when I decide to. And I'm giving you a chance now.
I saw her on the TV and she's very nice.
So what? Why have you got a comment on that? Why is that relevant? You've not commented on how I look. Why is it okay to comment on how a female presenter looks?
You were on the TV, so I didn't get a chance, so I don't know what you're
saying. Why is how she looks relevant?
Because when you're listening to a radio station, you haven't tried to have a mental image of the voice that you hear on the radio.
Right, so, but why is how she looks relevant? Why are you judging her on her looks? Let me sick.
Well, not because...
You're the problem. We're the solution. You're the problem. We're the solution.
And then when you listen to the show and you hear the voice...
You don't like the show. Why are you listening to it? Go away. We don't need to chase listeners anymore.
I'll be having Janice Long on soon.
Great. Go and listen to that. Why do you phone us up? Why do you listen to us? You don't like it. We don't need to chase listeners anymore. So you can go away. If you don't like it, stop listening. I don't find your calls amusing, entertaining, or anything. I find them boring.
Well, fortunately, you won't have to worry about me ringing up again.
Good!
So as soon as I can find the off button...
Bye-bye. Hey, Nick, I don't fancy you either.
I never said I didn't fancy you.
Well, I did.
When did those three words come out of my lips? I don't fancy you.
I don't fancy you. That's four words.
Four
mate.
Words. Okay. I never said
talk
that.
Talk Sport listener, guys. It's a Talk Sport listener, guys.
Anyway, it's been fun.
Thanks.
Before you go, I'm in charge of when you go, buddy. And you know what? It's right now. Don't have to chase listeners anymore. You're an a-hole. I'm going to tell you, you're an a-hole. but I like most of you. Here's the thing. That guy was so boring. I don't even really remember his call from the other week. When people say, you probably remember me from last week.
No,
sometimes I don't remember that.
You know what that says? I hope you remember me from last week.
You should remember me from last week because I brought a little je ne sais quoi to your rather disappointing show.
Bloody awkward and quite old-fashioned.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative. With Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
Catherine, talk to me about a brother and a ball.
Brother to brother.
Ball action.
Ball transplantation. With a newly transplanted testicle, the recipient will be able to have children of his own, and because the twins are identical, the DNA he passes to his offspring will be a nearly exact match for his own. The historic procedure could offer hope that transgender patients and men with catastrophic groin injuries could have children
catastrophic
too.
Catastrophic bollocks. Great band!
But the ethics become murky outside of the exceedingly unique case of identical twin brothers who are donor and recipient.
So this guy, did the recipient have no balls?
None at all.
And the normal brother...
Had both.
Had two.
Yeah.
And so he said he can have one.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing ethics about that. As long as he didn't say, but to get it, you got to suck it out of my pee-pee.
No. What they're saying is the ethics... God.
I've been sucking all day. Keep going.
What they're saying is the ethics become murky outside of the case of identical twins. You know, if it's you...
Yeah.
I don't know. Your non-identical
brother. But the ball
brother.
Isn't what makes the white wee-wee.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think it is, actually.
Mate.
It isn't. It's not where the white wee-wee comes from.
It's where it's stored, right?
Yeah, but it's made in your belly. It's made in your belly.
Is it? I thought it was a gland, the testicle.
No. You misunderstood. The white wee-wee is made just behind the belly button, like a little factory there, and then it passes down to the ball.
Yeah.
And it's stored in the ball.
Hang on.
It's stored in the ball. Don't Google it because mainstream
media. I think it's important.
Well, I'm telling you the answer. It's stored in your ball. Or your balls, so to speak.
When you say balls, you remind me of that Apprentice contestant.
Balls.
I've never seen balls like that.
Alan Sugar, your balls are out. You might want to drop your fly, Alan Sugar. Low Sugar, your balls are out. I can see your balls.
Thank you for the opportunity.
To see your balls. Karen. And then when you make love or masturbate, it passes through your balls, through your pee-pee, out the little tiny little hole
not
into
my
a tissue
I don't
or a sock or a womb where it make a baby.
Or a mess.
So the ball is merely the storage unit. The ball is like, let me put it in... Let me put it in modern terms, in terms you might understand. The ball is like the hard drive that stores the data. The data being your semen. Tell us the rest of the story. Don't Google it, please. Don't Google it, young lady. No need for you to know any more than that. Tell us the story about the brothers.
Yeah. sperm producing it.
Tell us.
Testicles.
Fake news. Babies. Mainstream media. Don't believe her.
Babies born missing both testicles are extremely rare.
Well, they're not actually. 50% of all babies don't have testicles.
Boy babies born with...
That's better.
Out both testicles are extremely rare.
5 points to me. Sam laughed through the glass.
There are a few statistics to come by that estimate, just how rare.
To come what?
I don't know. This is not written very well. But in one...
Newton come Hardy.
1974 study suggests that about one in every 5,000 male babies are born missing one testicle. Just one in every 20,000 are estimated to be born with neither.
Some babies this year will be born without a testicle. If you have a spare testicle, maybe you'd be kind enough to consider sharing a ball for a baby. I'm Hugh Grant, on behalf of Babies Without Balls. Enjoy your Christmas.
It's very serious business.
Hugh Grant's a very serious man. Got the right man for the job, as far as I'm concerned.
The causes of absent testicles are unclear, apart from if they're girls.
Oh, look at Hannah's cat in a box. That's a great looking cat. That's a great looking cat, Hannah.
Some scientists have speculated it may be a genetic condition, though identical twin brothers in Serbia cast some doubt over that theory. Yes.
My Serbian twins, huh?
Without either testicle, a man's body cannot produce testosterone.
Thank you.
In the absence of...
If you produce it can't store it.
Testosterone. Men may not go through puberty. They may grow too little hair or too much in certain areas.
Okay.
Develop breast tissue and lack sex drive and energy and are more prone to muscle loss and depression.
Like ladies. Describing a lady.
And of course, without the structures that produce and contain sperm... Produce and contain sperm.
Well, I'm assuming the bit is missing from behind his belly button as well. They have to put a little sperm box in there. An artificial sperm maker. Like those artificial snow makers you get at parties in November. Really, what's coming out is just shaving foam. And that would be the same in this situation, I'm afraid. Disappointing.
Hormone.
Smells lovely.
Oh, my God.
You can have a shave with it. Well, that is good for the skin.
Hormone injections can help to manage the other symptoms that come without testosterone. But for the patient who underwent the operation in Serbia, the goal was to be able to have children and feel more comfortable, as well as having normal testosterone levels. The transplantation of a testicle is a fairly long, delicate procedure and has to be completed with maximum efficiency. I could have made this up. I don't think you need to be a medical
correspondent. That's not a medical description, is it?
No, it takes ages and it's quite difficult.
Doctor, will you be using maximum efficiency?
Once you remove the testicle from the donor, the clock starts ticking very fast, says Dr. Branko Bojovic, a Harvard Medical School microsurgery, he says here, microsurgeon, who assisted in the procedure in Belgrade. If it's not connected to a blood supply within 4 to 6 hours, the testicular tissue will start to die.
The ball dies. You give me $1 million or the ball dies.
There are four crucial blood vessels that need... This is important. I think this should be the top story.
Okay, do you want to do this?
Carefully sewn together for the testicles to receive life-giving oxygen-rich blood. In doing so, it can take 60 minutes per vessel, leaving precious little margin for error. News.
No rules nocturnal nattering for nightbirds, nurses, and Nosferatu.
All right, cool.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
A student teacher has spoken about how she got a vibrator stuck up her backside.
She's not named, is she? Because
yes, Emma Phillips.
No,
from Wallasey, Merseyside.
Why would you...
There's a picture of her in the hospital. It says where she had the vibrator removed, but you can't see her bum.
Teacher 101. Don't put this stuff where it's Googleable.
Miss Phillips!
Are you the one that got the vibrator stuck up your bum?
Miss Phillips, I can't sit down properly. My bum's vibrating. Emma Phillips. Miss Phillips. A mother of one from Wallasey, Merseyside.
Oh, God.
First thought boyfriend Lee had hidden the vibrator under a pillow as a prank. But then when she pressed down on her stomach, she felt a buzzing inside her.
Whoa, 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 whoa. How can you think it's under the pillow?
What the hell? They tried to remove it using a fork handle from
Flipping
a bum.
Heck.
And barbecue...
Shouldn't do that when there's electrics up there. You might get a...
And barbecue prongs. But all efforts failed. She was rushed to hospital to have the sex toy taken out. And now Emma wants to warn people not to... It's 20 past midnight. I thought it's 20 past 11. Wants to warn people not to be afraid of getting help in embarrassing... I would say you should be... Not... warning people of don't put vibrators up your bum so far you can't get them out. Warning not to be afraid of getting help in embarrassing situations. Emma 24 said, "You were looking around the bed in case you've fallen out." Out.
It must have been tiny.
Arse must have been massive.
No, it must have been a tiny thing. Yeah. Maybe like a little sort of bullet thing. Because you would notice, wouldn't you? Like a bullet.
What's that? I don't understand.
Like a bullet-shaped thing.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I'd imagine, like a bullet.
Oh, as opposed to a huge thing.
Like a great big...
You get them, do you, that size?
I would imagine.
Strange thing to imagine, unless you know.
Only because, how could you think it wasn't... How could you think it was under the pillow and not up your jacksie?
Up the wazoo.
If it was massive.
Up the wazoo.
Must have been tiny. Barely noticeable. Basically, not worth it.
Emma 24 said, "You're walking around in the bed in case you've fallen out. And I leaned on my stomach, I could feel it vibrating.
Flipping it. Burrowing.
It was stuck low down. And at one point was even wedged behind me hip."
God.
She added, "For a while, Lee was suggesting all kinds of wonderful options. He tried the kitchen fork handle, which we won't be using again. Put it in the dishwasher. And said he could feel it at one point, but that it was too far up. It was a goner. He tried barbecue prongs, but after a certain point, after an hour of trying, we knew we were going to have to go to hospital. We were both a bit shocked." Like, after initially seeing...
Apologies to the people of Merseyside. It's uncalled for.
After initially seeing the funny side, there's more coming. Emma said that they quickly realised she'd need medical help. Emma said, "We'd both been drinking that night. Oh. The night before. So we couldn't drive.
What?
I had to make the most embarrassing call to the ambulance at 7 a.m, 7 o'clock in the morning. So she's either, they've either been at it all night or she's fallen asleep with it up her jacksie. The call handler said, "Tell me exactly what the problem is."
Oh.
So I had to tell him, like. During the 45-minute journey to Wrexham Maylor Hospital.
Wrexham?
I think she did, yeah. Maybe they got it fixed. North Wales, Emma was perched on one of the seats and was hurried into a room for observations. Emma said, at that point...
Observations? What are we going to do?
At that point, it was just more surreal than anything. I didn't feel that much pain at that point. I was in too much shock. Doctors carried out an X-ray.
What?
X-ray.
An X-ray?
X-ray. To find out where the still buzzing vibrator was and realised it was too high up and would be too painful for them to manually extract it while she was awake.
Why don't they put a ripcord on these things?
Emma said...
Tie it to the end of the bed.
I think at that point it started getting quite serious.
Oh dear.
The doctors were really good. They all might have moved quite quickly. And was so reassuring telling me...
Where's she from now, reassuring me?
Was so reassuring telling me they saw it quite often.
Great.
Which is quite a relief. First we were joking about it, but then realised it wasn't much of a joke. Especially when there's talk of going through my stomach if they couldn't get to it. Could she push it out through her belly button?
Well, I don't know. Depends if her sperm box is in the way.
No. No.
Your biology lesson, not mine.
There's the young lady.
Get
she did
lost.
Not have that stuck up her
You don't
axis.
Wonder where that's gone.
That was not the one.
You do not wonder where that's gone. Flipping,
the
eh? Like a
for
pencil
that photo
topper.
Of her holding a huge vibrator is.
Remember those pencils you used to get at school with like a little person sitting on top? That's that.
This is not the vibrator she lost up her backside.
No.
Doctors offered it to her, but she declined. As she was being wheeled to theatre, what are you going to see a play for? Doctors told Emma if they couldn't extract it rectally, they would have to go through the bowel
Good
and take
God.
Some out, which could mean at least 6 months with a colostomy bag. Emma said, I think before that, I thought of it as just a little operation to get it out. I still wasn't taking it that seriously.
Seriously?
When he said that, that only when I woke up would I know whether they would have to cut me open. Scary, like, you know? Scary. I was dead scared. At 12 p.m., Emma, underwent, I've seen another picture. At 12 p.m., Emma underwent the minute and a half surgery.
Oof.
Which involved placing a camera down her throat.
Shut up. Shut up.
And the surgeon pressing on her stomach before manually extracting it. What, so they just squeezed it out?
Like a tube of toothpaste.
Doctors offered her the toy as a keepsake, but she declined. And there she is.
Yeah. I'm glad she's taking it seriously. Doing a surprise face.
She was discharged. Oh, that was her being discharged at around 6:30 p.m. before tentatively making her way home to see her two-year-old daughter.
I don't know, I have to bring the kid into this.
Emma said, "My daughter was staying with me mum and dad as I stayed at Lee's the night before.
Of course.
I wasn't going to tell them. Then I was going into surgery. I knew we were going to have to say something.
Surgery.
So I told my mum the real reason.
Oh, God, why
she
would
you? She laughed and said the same thing had happened to her.
Shut up.
And my dad 30 years before, but no. With a wooden one.
No, shut up.
I just took some painkillers and was told not to use stuff like that again until I was ready. I've learned I'll need to be a bit more careful in the future. Okay, this isn't even the punchline. Lee's not been scarred by it. He thinks it's funny. I think he should have one up his bum and take one for the team. Ah! Do it, Lee. You'll love it. Emma now wants to raise awareness and urge anyone in a similar predicament to seek medical attention. I swear to God, I'm not making this bit up. Emma said, "We ain't going to do anything about it because of the embarrassment, like. There's a big taboo about having dildos stuck up your bum. But we knew.
She didn't know. Can I bring you back to the original problem? She didn't know where it was. She didn't know where. She thought it was
under the pillow.
We knew.
We needed help. I want to say a massive thank you to the ambulance crew and Wrexham Hospital staff who are really good, really reassuring and non-judgmental. There is a big taboo about this, but it really isn't a big deal.
Wow.
You hear about people
she's
becoming...
She's still going, flipping heck!
Really ill. Can you find this woman and get her on the show?
I just listened for the buzzing.
Emma Phillips from Wallasey, Merseyside. Can you find her, please, and get her on the show?
All right. I have questions, Emma.
You hear about people becoming really ill or even dying because they're too embarrassed to get help. I hate that to happen to anyone. A hospital health board spokesman said, "While we cannot comment on individual cases, we're very pleased to hear that the lady in question was happy with the treatment. We would always urge people to exercise the utmost... utmost, it's not utmost, I found out recently, utmost care and caution to prevent any unfortunate or potentially dangerous repercussions and to seek the right help if accidents occur." That is a very saucy story. And,
just don't know how you can have something lost up your bum and not know. Is it under the pillow? No, guess again. Still, those kid free nights. Going hell for leather, obviously, flipping heck.
0344 499 1000.
Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
Oh, my word.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Kev.
Oh, yeah. All right there.
Hello, Kev.
You don't like snitches, right? So what do you think about these people that cycle around London with helmets, helmet cams on, and then they film people on their phones, and then they report them to the police and put them on YouTube? What do you think of them sort of snitches?
Why has it happened to you?
No, it hasn't, but I just think
Why does it make you so angry?
I think it's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope to...
grassing everybody else up. You just said you didn't like snitches, so I just wonder what you thought
about
that.
So your fear about people wearing helmets with cameras on, which is a safe thing to do, filming people on their phones whilst they're driving, which is an unsafe thing to do, you think it's a slippery slope to more people snitching?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, if they're driving and moving, oh, I agree. And I don't support the people doing it as it is, you know what I mean? It's just the nature of actually reporting them to the police.
I think those people with the helmets on, if you want my honest opinion, I think the people with the helmets on should get stitches.
What?
Because they're snitches.
Wow.
Yeah, scumbags. I agree with Kev.
I think part of the reason why they're wearing the helmets is because they're frightened of getting stitches because people, you know, don't respect them as road users.
You should respect the law of the playground and the law of the prison. Don't
yeah,
snitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't
but
snitch.
That's how it all started. They all started wearing the helmet on campus
side.
Because people were passing them closely and it was dangerous.
Yeah,
but now it's turned into something else now.
Oh,
it's turned into
vigilantism.
Let's grass drivers up for every little thing they do. If they're on the phone.
When was the last time you read a story about a driver being caught out by someone with a helmet?
If you go on YouTube, they're on there all.
If you go on YouTube looking for it, but when did you last read it in a paper?
Oh, I don't think the papers are particularly reporting it. But I mean, YouTube's pretty.
YouTube is big, big website.
You know, it's big
what about dash cams? Is that also grassing?
Well, I've got a dash cam, but it's me.
Oh, no, hang on a minute, Kev.
Surveillance state.
Hang on a minute, Kev, because I was on Kev's side. When I thought Kev was hard done by it, I say the cyclists with the helmet cams, they're snitches, they should get stitches. Kev, I hate to say this, my friend. You need some stitches.
No, listen.
Because you've been doing some stitches.
Mine is for in case I have a insurance claim.
So you're going to grab... Halt! So you're gonna you're gonna snitch on the other car!
He's gonna film everyone just in case.
You're gonna, it's surveillance state, Kev, your car is Big Brother 1984! You're filming I didn't give you permission to film me, Kev!
It's really boring, honestly.
I don't give you permission to film me!
I'm afraid you don't have to ask for permission if you're in the
Big Brother! It's Big Brother!
If you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to hide!
It's Big Brother!
Correct, Kathy's right. You're doing nothing wrong.
Do you not hear what you're saying, though? It's bollocks, man. It's all bollocks.
If I hit you and I was on my phone, would you show them that film?
My insurance company, yeah, but I wouldn't say...
So you're snitching. It's the second...
That's not snitching.
Kev, are you telling someone what happened? And are you giving them the video evidence that you've captured? Because that's the definition...
would require
you're snitching to the insurance.
Yeah. If the cyclist gets hit, they're more likely to be killed.
Yeah, well, I don't. I've got nothing against cyclists. I've just got this thing. I'm just against this thing where.
Exposing your dash cam. You know. Occasionally, there'll be like an incident, like a bank robbery. Mm-hmm. And the police will say, if anybody was near Tottenham Court Road, Oxford Street crossing at 12:50, and if you've got dash cam footage, we'd love to see it. Would you, and you were there, Kev, would you hand in that dash cam footage?
No, it's nothing to do with me.
So you wouldn't, so you wouldn't help the police? You'd let robbers, and that, all right, they shot an old lady. They shot an old lady. Your dash cam footage might help. You just said you won't help the police, so would you hand it in now?
Oh. Well, you know.
Think of our grandchildren, Kev.
Oh, yeah, I've just had a grandchild, actually.
Exactly. So would you hand that footage in to the police?
Possibly.
Well, sir, you deserve stitches for that. You're a snitch. We'll not have any snitches on this show.
Everyone's got a price, man.
When we say stitches, by the way, guys, we mean metaphorically. Except in Kev's case there, who is the worst of the worst.
These people deserve Community Action Trust rewards, not stitches.
We totally stitched him up.
And that was the end of the story.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo.
Unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to David Babcock.
Yeah.
Same guy. Same guy. David and Fred, can you speak at the same time?
Cabbages.
Fred, can you say cabbages?
Cabbages.
There we go. Same guy. David.
Hello, that was me. I think he's gone.
I think he's gone. David, could you do us a favour?
No.
And delete our phone number. No. Could you do us a favour and speak into your telephone, please?
Put your mouth near Thole.
Oh, it's not gone wobbly again, has it?
Can't hear you very well, mate.
Right, hang on.
There it is. There you are.
Yeah, I've moved it out.
Were you reclining?
I was lying in my chaise lounge.
Like one of those sexy French girls that Leonardo DiCaprio likes drawing.
Oh, nobber.
Yeah, you've got it, you've got it, right.
David, did you hear us talking about Ouija boards earlier on?
Yeah, that's what I was listening. I've been listening to the whole show. What a show. What a show it's been.
Okay, so you can help us with... Can we contact Margaret Thatcher on a Ouija board on Thursday?
You can. I'll be at work, but...
Okay, sex and chickens.
No, right. It's content you want, is it?
Sorry?
It's content.
Oh, content. You want, is it? Yes, please. I mean, what have you got?
Well, in that case, Ian Lee, this is your life.
What? Me? No. Oh, did you know about this cat?
I'm not saying a word.
Etc.
Yeah. And then cut to the studio, right?
Okay. I don't like it. I used to hate This Is Your Life when they would do it in the theatre where the person was performing.
Yeah.
I used to hate that. Go to the studio. Go to the studio. I want to watch it in the studio. Because the acoustics were terrible in the theatre and it didn't look right. So I'm glad we've cut to the studio.
Right. Okay.
Pardon me.
No, don't. You were on air.
Sorry, but I know we're on air.
Right. Born in Leeds Rugby in June the 9th, 1973, you attended St. Michael's School for Weak Children. And do you remember this voice?
It was always rubbish at PE, but we gave him the best chance we could.
Yeah, I do recognise that voice. My God, that's you, David.
No.
It's you doing the voice.
No, it's your PE teacher, Richard Phelps.
Phelps, he's got Phelps, he was a knob. It's actually my teacher. Hey, Phelps.
Hey, did you remember me?
Yeah, you're Phelpsy. You're a knob.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we get, let's get to the famous, famous friends that have turned up.
Oh, Christ. So, you later went on to do radio, and you were in the jungle with, do you remember this voice? I don't think, no, hang on. No, yeah, that was him, but here's one. Ian, I'm going to eat the strawberries. It's Amir Khan.
Amir, nice to see you. How are you, man?
I'm okay, mate.
It really
is. I like them strawberries, innit?
Amir.
Amir, I want to talk to Amir a little bit more, if that's all right. Amir,
go on then.
What's going on with you and your wife?
For legal reasons, I don't want to go into that right now. Lovely strawberries.
It's only just in strawberries.
I get it. All right, Amir. Well, thanks, and that's great. That was great being on This Is Your Life. Thanks.
That's it.
That was your life.
That's it.
Here's a book.
Is the book just the script?
I think it's like your record of achievement book with some like papers.
Does Michael Aspel sign it? I wonder if hang on a minute. Here we go. Now we got something. There must be, right?
Who's got a big red book?
There must be a This Is Your Life book on eBay. This Is Your Life book. We're going to buy one. We're going to buy someone's This Is Your Life book. This Is Your Life. This Is Your Life, like scrapbooks. That's a bit rubbish. Oh, hang on. What's that? This Is Your Life, the story of television's famous Big Red Book.
No, that's not it.
No, and here's the thing. The book isn't red. This is the... What would you type in? This Is Your Life book, Michael Aspel.
Big Red Book. It was called the Big Red Book, wasn't it?
Big Red Book.
Big Red Rock.
Big Red Rock. Big Red Rock.
Around the Ragged Rock.
There must be one of these for sale somewhere. Which makes me think, maybe there is no book.
Do you think it was like, you know, our degree certificates? Yeah. Where we got like a toilet roll.
Yeah.
And then they took it back off us and then they gave it to the next person. That!
Eamon Andrews. Have you ever seen a bit, one of the books, David?
Have I ever seen them on eBay or anything?
Yes!
Yes. Real life, out of the wild.
You're asking the
right,
guy...
Right, goodbye. I guess can't work with that. I've never seen one of those books out in the wild. You'd watch This Is Your Life, and as a kid, you know, there was nothing else on. And it was, if it was like someone off the telly that you knew, like Derek Giler or something, you think, oh, brilliant, I'm in. Even a Harry Seacombe,
really?
You could stand. Yeah, because that was so much better than some old soldier that had served in World War II. You'd get them, you'd think, oh, flipping it. Just going to be a lot of boring old men with moustaches
people
coming
remembering
out.
Remembering stuff.
It's boring. I want celebrities. The Little and Large one is great. The Gary Glitter one is great.
Well,
Gary Glitter was in concert at Wembley Arena. And here's the thing about Gary Glitter.
There are some clues in that one, aren't there?
Yeah. But here's the thing about Gary Glitter. He had always, and now we know why, he'd always refused to do it. Always refused to, and he told everyone around him, I do not want to do This Is Your Life. If they approach you about doing a This Is Your Life on me, I'm not interested. It's not happening. And I remember it. You watch when it's at Wembley Arena and Aspel comes out at the end of a concert and Glitter is furious. Glitter is furious and obviously cacking his pants because he's thinking, man, what are they going to get? What are they going to get here? And then he does it and it's a weird old episode. He sings at the end. I remember I watched it and taped it at the time. But it was a strange thing, This Is Your Life. I suppose it's before Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Wikipedia has now done it, really. And always, the best bits are when they go, do you recognise this voice? And someone would speak and they'd be going, who? Oh, go on, who is it? And then it's your friend, Tony.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a clue who they were.
Also, it was before Facebook and stuff, right?
Yeah,
so you
Friends Reunited.
You hadn't been hearing about Tony's, Mrs's operation and stuff.
Yeah.
And
I remember when I met you back at school, in the second day of school, 1956, and you were a very funny guy.
You haven't changed a day.
I knew then that you would be going to much better. We're so proud of you. And it goes, they do their funny story, and we're so proud of you, my friend. So proud of you, my friend. Really, always very proud. Maybe we can talk after. No. It's the reason I'm not seeing you for 50 years.
Get out.
So proud of you. So proud of you. Have a marvellous evening. Have a marvellous evening, my friend. Let me see you too, Belinda. And then as TV programmes go, This Is Your Life was pretty, it was one of the dullest.
Imagine the people you made friends with in Freshers Week that then you spent the rest of your university life avoiding. They're all there. So proud of you. So
and there'd always be people, when you walked into the celebrity came in, there'd always be like two rows of chairs that were filled already with just like, who are they? Like cousins or something?
Yeah.
Who even knows their cousins anymore? I don't know my cousin. I don't know any of my family.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Cannibals, let's have a good old laugh at this.
250-year-old mummified body of a former village chief and an elderly woman with stumps from where her fingers have been cut off are just some of the remarkable photographs shot by an Italian travel photographer.
Oh, hang on. Stop the music. This is about a travel photographer. It's not actually about cannibals. It's they're about not even eating them.
Well, I don't know yet. Look, it doesn't look well, though, does he?
Muppet Show sound that? That's brilliant. That is brilliant.
They folded Grandad up.
Yes, mate.
And they've also, I mean, he don't look happy.
Don't look happy.
It's not a face of restful repose.
Okay. Can you just scan the story and let us know if there's any actual cannibal action? Because if not, I'm going to pull the plug. You promised us.
Oh, they prefer pig festivals to eating humans now.
No, well, yeah, so they have a nice hog roast instead of a nice nana roast.
Oh, listen to this, though. Alongside mummification, the tribeswomen have their fingers removed every time she loses a close relative, as they believe it's symbolic and actually accurately symbolic. Represents their grief. Just the women, though, eh?
That makes sense. The men need their hands.
Yeah.
To chop off the women's fingers.
Ever more so when the women can't use theirs.
All right, love, calm down, calm down.
If you know what I'm saying.
Listen, well, you don't have to have your fingers chopped off if you don't want to. But if you don't, you don't love me.
This marriage is over. You don't love your deceased relative.
You don't love your mum that died.
Flipping heck, imagine.
I mean, if I was really hungry.
Mm-hmm. Who would you eat out of, me and Sam? Sam's very lean, isn't he?
Sam's not got any meat in him at all.
He is younger, though. He is younger. So juicy.
Mm. You're not juicy?
No.
Okay.
Wizened.
Sam, I'm going to have to eat you. No, I would chop my own arm off and eat it.
I don't think you can.
What do you mean? There's no rules. Here's what you do, right? You get the arm and you want the forearm, okay? So you chop the arm off with an axe, solid blow, left arm, you chop it off at the elbow,
you
right?
You won't be able to get enough force with one hand.
Oh, I've got plenty of force with this hand. Right? You see, chop it off there. Then you get a lighter and you cauterize that so it seals up. It's going to hurt like hell, but oof, you know what I mean?
But you're about to get a delicious meal.
I mean, I would drink all the vodka first. I mean, listen, I'm on a desert island, I'm dying, so I've not got a problem with drinking again, right?
Where are you getting vodka from?
Oh, we're washed up on a...
All-inclusive.
Crate of vodka. So I'm going to drink the vodka. Right, so I'm really drunk. Oh, let's go. I'm going to chop my arm off. Pour vodka over the arm.
Oh.
Drink more vodka. Cauterize the arm. The vodka is to clean it. Drink more vodka. Then I would cook the arm and I would eat it.
What's the point, though?
Sorry?
What's the point?
Well, I'm hungry.
Well, then when are you going to eat the next day?
Well, the arm would last... 3 or 4 days, 5 days.
Okay, so on the fifth day, Ian ate his...
Okay, well then, if it continues, then I go the calf.
Right.
Now that's going to be tough, that's muscly. Chop just below, the same thing, drink the vodka. Chop just below the knee, pour the vodka on, drink the more vodka, cauterize it, cook the leg, eat the leg. That's longer, but long legs, I'm lanky, that's going to last you a week to 10.
Right, then?
I'm really hoping I'm rescued by now.
Well, you might not be.
I'm really hoping I'm rescued. My left arse cheek.
Why the left one?
Because it's easier to get with it. Because I'm doing everything I can with the right arm. And also, I tend to sit on my right... I tend to sit like this and lean on my right arm, I think. So, drink the vodka. Yeah, this is a tough one. And you got to just... It's like the bacon thing at the deli counter.
Yeah.
You've got to slice off the arse, slice off the arse, slice off the arse, slice off the arse, slice off the arse. As much as you can take. And then... Pour the vodka on, you've got to cauterize
That's a lot of vodka.
It's a crate of it. Cauterize the arse cheek.
And then nothing else, just vodka.
But then it turns out, week 3, when I've done that, then I find there's loads of food, so I can make sandwiches.
Oh my God.
Using my arse cheek. But nice bit of piccalilli, a little bit of mustard.
And you've lost weight?
Everybody's happy.
Well.
It's the best diet I know.
Are you gonna butter your bread?
My right arm.
How are you going to hold it down? Okay, I was going to say. You've really thought of everything. Okay.
And it was quite gutting to find out there was all of that stuff, a load of food had washed up just around the corner.
I wouldn't have got drunk, I would have gone and had a proper search before I started getting leathered.
I'm
chopping bits of my body off.
Yeah. Yep. What would you chop off first, your boobs?
No, they're important.
For?
Balance.
Okay. Are they? Is that what they do for a woman?
Yeah.
Boobs balance.
I know if I can get through a door, like a cat's whiskers.
Okay, is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. I would chop your head off, and then I'd put two straws in like they do in Trader Joe's. What's the place called with the cocktails? Trader Vic's. And I would slurp out of it like it's a big old melon or a coconut, and I would drink the juices out.
Well, that's nice, thanks.
Mix it with vodka. fan, you in? Bit of Cath cocktail?
God.
That works for me. Someone call up, because I'm
because he's already chopped my head off.
Yeah.
And his left
Billy
foot
says,
cheek.
That's like the short Stephen King story, Ladyfingers, where the fella is shipwrecked with a case of heroin. Oh, now, there's heroin involved, is there? Suddenly I'm in. 03444991000, this is Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Let's go to Talbot.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Oh, okay, Phil, I've got a chafed penis, and that's a true story. I chafed my penis today, and if I have a wee, you know what happens? You put your penis back into your underpants, and wee is there. That's what underpants are for. They're to mop up the wee.
But what?
That's what they're there for.
No, they're not for mopping up the wee. You're supposed to make sure it's clean before it goes back in.
No,
you're supposed to shake it.
Shake it like a bowl of rocking.
Or my mum used to work in a playgroup, and there was one little boy who, when he went to the toilet, used to flick the end.
Okay, here's the thing. Of course you shake. This is you two are idiots. You're Mike Graham listeners. Here's the thing, right? Yes, you shake your penis, okay? You can never, it's like the petrol pump. You can shake it and rattle it around in that hole, but when you pull it out, there's always going to be a few drops that fall out, always. You think, oh man, I paid for that. Okay.
You're rushing it. You're rushing it.
I'm not rushing it. And it's the
you're
same.
Rushing it.
Please let me finish, Talbot, please. Please. Okay. Please.
Not good.
Please, Talbot,
finish
please.
Justifying your filthy habits.
Please, Catherine, can you speak to Talbot?
I'm on Talbot's side.
Look, he's rushing this conversation like he rushed
Catherine,
his piss.
Please, I don't even want to speak to this piece of trash anymore. Could you speak
to
Talbot?
He sounds like a clean young man.
There you go.
You smell like compo.
You put your penis back in your... Right, okay, you haven't got pants on, right? So you put your penis back in your trousers, and then a little bit of wee comes out through your trousers, you've got a stain. Crazy. The pants are there. All right, Talbot, can I ask you a question, mate?
Yeah, go on.
Very simple question, mate.
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to ask it to you.
Can you ask it quick?
I'm going to ask it at my own pace. And my pace is a leisurely pace.
A medium pace.
Yeah.
Talbot.
Yeah.
Still him, yeah.
Please, Catherine!
Don't be nasty.
I'm not being nasty.
You are.
A little. Talbot.
Hit me with it.
Oh, don't tempt me, buddy.
You might if you turned around too quick.
Oh.
What? Talbot?
Yes.
Why do we wear pants?
To stop your bollocks chafing against your jeans.
Incorrect. It's in case you get hit by a bus.
Incorrect. It's as a barrier to stop any fecal or penile detritus from evacuating through your trouser lineage.
Yeah, well.
It's like
you might as well wear a nappy then.
Yeah, well, maybe you should. Because you sound like a big crybaby.
Oh.
Why don't you ask Talbot where he wants? Because I don't want to speak to this
Talbot,
guy.
Talbot, I'm so sorry about him. I would like to say he was having an off day, but this is an on
this
day.
This guy makes me want to puke.
Well, look, I would like to come in because I needed a bit of help.
Oh, you've come to the right place.
I've come to the right place. So I've got tickets for Saturday to come to the rep. Okay?
Yeah.
I've got 2 tickets.
Yeah.
I was wanting to ask my mate Sammy to come with me.
Yeah.
Ask him. And he's tried to explain, he's never been, he doesn't understand what it's all about. And I tried to explain to him what it's all about. He thought it's a stand-up comedy show.
No.
And it's not.
No.
And then I tried to explain it and it sounded like a cabaret show, which it's not.
No.
And then that's when he said, look, mate, forget it, I'm not coming. And I was wondering if there's any way we can get him patched in on the phone. I don't know if this works, or if you've got the tech or how we can do it.
Yeah, we've got a phone switchboard, Talbot. Of course we can do it.
All right. And then if we can get him on the line, and if you guys could help me convince him.
Yeah, that's what we want in our shows. Audience members that don't want to be there.
You're going to find out.
It's Brighton all over again.
Once I release Brighton, which will be in the next day.
Yeah.
You'll understand why.
Hang on a minute.
I don't really want to convince your friend to come.
Talbot.
Oh, no.
Talbot.
Okay.
Talbot.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to give you back to Sam.
Yeah.
You're going to give Sam the number.
Okay.
Sam is going to type it up on my screen.
Yep.
I swear to God, if you give me a number of, like, a sex den or something, I will kill you.
Would you like that?
I would like that, actually, yes. Yeah. But I've got a chafed penis,
give
as I said.
Give it a couple of days, at least.
Take the number and the name of this idiot. Talbot's really pushing my buttons tonight. Pushing my buttons, this guy.
In a good way. Right?
I'm going to do a story in a minute about a willy-shaped fruit gum. That's coming very, very
that's
soon.
That's the story. I don't know why
you...
You're going
to have a good old giggle about that. That's going to be... it's going to be a good old giggle. Just reminder, in 1 hour and 18 minutes, we have to stop talking about the election. We can't speak about the election after midnight. Legally, we can't. So please, guys, if you want to do it, you've got to do it now. Don't want any phone calls after midnight.
If you are going to do it, could you phone someone else? Thank you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, please do. Right, so I've got this loser's phone number, right? It's 078... Oh, no, hang on, I shouldn't say it on air, should I? 078...
Shh, you're still saying
I can't see the phone number now, because that's blocked in the way and I can't move that. Sam, could you dial it for me, please? Thank you, mate. He could say I was struggling. He could say I was struggling.
You know what the problem is with him?
Yeah.
A knob.
He didn't hear that, which is lucky.
I can hear you.
We're not talking about you!
He's also a knob.
What? I heard you, sweetheart.
Oh. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
No.
Sweet cheeks.
Anyway, I hope you're able to convince this guy.
I don't want him there. Hang on, let's talk to him. Let's talk
tell him not to bother.
Hello?
What are you doing?
Hey, Sammy?
Yeah?
This is Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. You're on Talk Radio.
Hi, Sammy.
And we've got your former friend, Talbot. Talbot is with us.
Hello, mate. How you doing? You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Don't... If you swear, I'm giving out your phone number on the radio. Now, Sammy.
Wow!
Wow!
Yeah.
Sammy. What is this? You don't want to come to our show on Saturday. What's your problem, man?
Do you know what?
Talbot, shut your face, I'm talking. He's gone. I'm talking
I'd
to you, Sammy.
Do you know what? I'd love to, but I've already made plans. I'm really sorry, mate.
What plans have you got?
It's my missus. You're going to have to argue with her. She said I've got to go with her, mate. I'm really sorry.
What's her number?
That's brilliant. Do you know what? Next time I'll come.
What's your wife's number? Can we phone her?
Not a chance. She'll murder you, and then she'll murder me.
Wow, double murder.
Is it because she goes to a different school, and she's older, and we wouldn't know her? Or is she real?
You got me there. You got me.
There we go.
Sammy, Talbot told us you didn't want to come because you thought I was a dick in the jungle. That's what he said. So...
Yeah, do you know what? Is this real? Is this really happening?
No, man, it's an LSD experience. We came around and spiked your drink 3 hours ago and it's just kicking in, man. Psychedelic.
Right, you got me.
Talbot, Sammy's pretending he's got a girlfriend.
Look, mate, it's really hot. And do you know what? His wife said that she'll come with me rather than him. And she's hot.
Oh, this
Who is this now? Right, who is it?
This is Ian Lee. You're talking to Ian. I told you, mate. You better come. Come.
Baby,
come on Saturday. It'll be great fun.
What are you doing to me, mate? Tell me what you're doing to me right now.
Or he'll take your wife.
What you're doing to me? Yeah, take care. Oh. Do me a favour.
Oh.
If you come, Sammy, and bring your wife, I will put your wife's name on the door, and she will get him for free. And you will have the best time of your life, you piece of trash.
Hey.
yeah, cheers. Yep. Sounds good.
He's okay, not coming. He's not coming. I know that tone of voice.
He's not coming. He's not coming. And Talbot, you're banned from coming.
Wait, look.
You're banned from coming because you're a scumbag. We don't want any scumbags.
That's embarrassing us like that.
Did we do that break? Let's do it now.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nutjob, but not that kind of nutjob.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
Before that though, it's Daddy Dadcock.
Hello.
Oh, you're sounding tired, my friend.
I'm not tired, I'm full of energy.
Well, you should help your missus out a bit more then.
Selfish.
Piece of trash.
I don't.
have a missus. I'm just going to smash your topics before I get onto what I've come on to say. Simon Jordan, ex-Crystal Palace chairman slash owner.
We're doing famous Simons.
He is famous on TalkSport.
What's that?
Is it? No, you won't know.
Right, Simon, and what's his name? Gordon?
Jordan.
Simon Jordan. Okay, put it down.
Right. Songs under 2 minutes.
Yes, sir.
I've seen him.
Who is it? Show me. Have I seen him walking
around?
Oh, I've seen him walking around.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's got nice hair, isn't he?
Beautiful.
I know him. I know him, David.
Right, good.
I've said hello to him, and he's held a door open for me.
Yeah. And the song under 2 minutes.
Oh, sorry, I should say, there's 12 tickets left for Saturday, by the way. IanLee.com/event. IanLee.com/event. 12 tickets left for Saturday. Sorry to the caller I just interrupted there, whose name I've forgotten.
Daddy.
Daddy Big Dick. David Badcock. Sorry, David. Sorry, a bit distracted today. Away you go. What have you called in for, David? Nice to talk to you. First time caller. What have you got for us?
Your words cut into me like hot knives.
He says on my screen you've got a famous Simon for us. Who have you got?
Simon Jordan.
No, I don't think you've been listening. I've got that one on my list already. It's there. Got the one on my list already.
It's
so
the one with the lovely hair.
We haven't had any Simons call in, by the way, which is a real shame. It's a real shame. So we've got that one, I'm afraid, David. What else did you have for us?
Am I on acid? What the hell?
Hello, David.
I've just been on. Are you there?
Hello.
Don't do this with me. I've got a really nice song to sing for you.
Okay, well then, he's going to sing it.
One, two, three, four.
If you vote for the Conservative...
No, you can't!
Or any of the other parties standing. Which include, flipping it, come on.
Brexit. Let's see if we can name them all. Brexit. Greens. Lib Dems. The Labour. English Defence.
No. Okay.
I've just done them all.
No, there's loads. Shall I read them?
Read them all out. But no, David, that she's doing this because of you.
Well
and
done.
Do it with the disdain that Babcock deserves.
Parties with multiple candidates. Advance Together. Alliance for Green Socialism.
Thank you, David.
Alliance Party.
You did this.
Animal Welfare Party.
Jeez.
IONTU. The Brexit Party. Christian Party. Christian Parties Alliance.
Not even allowed to
Communist
comment.
League.
Can't comment.
Communists. Communities United.
We're only on the seas.
Conservative Party. Democratic Unionist Party. English Democrats. Green Party for England and Wales. GLAD.
This is David Babcock's doing.
Independent Group for Change. Justice and Anti-Corruption Party. Labour Party.
Mm.
Liberal Democrats. Liberal Party.
Liberal Prada.
Libertarian. Monster Raving Loony Party.
David.
North East Party. Ireland Green Party.
You did this.
The Peace Party.
Oh.
People Before Profit.
Huh?
Plaid Cymru.
Huh?
Proud of Alderman Saddleworth. Renew. Scottish Family Party. Scottish
Hello,
Greens.
Son.
Scottish Socialist Equality. Scottish National Party.
You did this, David.
Sinn Féin.
It's your fault.
Social Democratic Party.
The SDP.
Social Democratic and Labour Party.
SDLP.
Socialist Party of Great Britain.
SP.
UK Independence Party.
Mm.
Ulster Unionist Party.
Not allowed to pass
comment. Veterans and People's Party.
Neutral.
Women's Equality Party. Workers'
I'm
Revolutionary
joking.
Party.
Neutral.
The Yeshua Party. The Yorkshire Party. Young People's Party. Parties with a single candidate.
Oh, for God's sakes, David, you did this! What made you think you could come on and sing a song like that?
Ashfield Independence.
Jeez.
Best for Luton.
Oh.
Birkenhead Socialist Justice Party. Sorry, Birkenhead Social Justice Party.
Oh.
British National Party.
Oh.
Burnley and Padiham Independent Party.
Burnley.
Church of the Militant Elvis Party. Citizens Movement Party UK.
All David Babcock's fault.
The Constitution and Reform Party.
10 minutes of politics because he's an idiot.
Cumbria First. The Sinon Valley Party. Heavy Woolen District Independence. Independent Network. Lincolnshire Independence.
Incredible.
Mebion Curnow.
Thank you, David.
Mother World Party. Patriot.
How much?
Psychedelic Future Party.
Oh.
Rebooting
I
Democracy.
Shh.
Shropshire
Party.
That!
Socialist Labour Party. Space Navies Party, the Common People, Touch Love Worldwide,
well,
the Universal Good Party,
yes.
And finally, Wickham Independence.
Thank you, David. That was your fault. You did that. 10 minutes of Catherine reading out words. Twitter's gone absolutely insane. The magnet says, F's sake, David. Dave says, FFFS Dadcock, talk about vibe thief. Hannah says, David, man alive. Roger says, David Babcock is a nonce. That's not very nice. Everyone is just, Twitter is melting down, slagging you off because you made her read out words for 10 minutes on something we're not interested in.
I've only got one thing to say to that.
No!
Tools.
Catherine, you did it so well, I don't think anyone noticed that you weren't happy doing that.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
The moon is right. 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 Oh, the moon is right. The
Of course, I forgot. You know what we have to play? Do you remember? I forgot about this. Do you remember this? Do you remember this?
Can't remember how it goes.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Let's go to Andy. Good evening, Andy. The big A. The big A to the N to the D to the Y, live from Australia, New Zealand. Andy.
G'day, mate. How you going? I just wanted to tell you a story about my cousin over there in Aberdeen and the situation he's got himself in. It's ludicrous, and the NHS has kept feeding the cycle. It's like he's got sleep apnea and has hearing aids, and his little dog for the last 2 years has been sucking up his hearing aids while he's asleep on the lounge. And for 2 years, he's been having these hearing aids replaced by the NHS and done nothing about getting a dog trained. And now he's crying to the world because he's spending half his life deaf and won't do anything. Yeah, yeah. Won't do a damn thing. Won't get out of his own way. Sits in Scotland, drains the NHS because a dog eats his hearing aids and rings people up and abuses them because
he's Australia. You're in Australia. Why do you care? What's it got to do with you? Are you paying taxes over here?
No,
well, get your hands
not.
Off.
I'm not. But
get your hands
no, mate, I'm
off,
of the,
Aussie cowboy.
I'm of the realisation that some poor kid or some elderly person, or it could be one of your relatives, won't be getting funding for their hearing aids because my idiot cousin.
That's not how the NHS works, mate.
Yeah.
No, that's not how the NHS works.
Well, it should, because that's just wasteful,
okay, that's not how the NHS...
It's wasteful, you know.
Andy,
anybody justify...
Andy, calm down. Wow. Whoa, dude, is this a bot? Is this one of those bots, like a Twitter bot? An Ozbot taken to the next level? It's got nothing to do with this jerk. He's over in Australia.
I think this goes deeper. I think this is about hearing aids. I think this is about cousin rivalry.
I think this is about the cousins...
It's not even about cousin rivalry. It's about someone who won't get out of their own way.
What do you mean get out of their own way?
To help themselves.
What's it got, Andy? It's got nothing to do with you. Phone him up and tell him.
I have. He won't listen.
He can't listen.
I'm putting it out there to the world, and I know he's listening to this station, Talk Radio now. And if someone else in England even gets wind and says,
Scotland.
That's wrong.
He's in Scotland.
Yeah, I know. See, England. Well, it's all the same.
It's not,
different shovel.
It's not. It's
United
not.
Kingdom, isn't
Thank
it?
Thank you very much.
It's indeed. United Kingdom when you want it to be. Bye.
Well, there we go.
Australia, that was your representative tonight.
1 hour and 12 minutes into the show, we get our first prick. That's not bad going for us.
I'm not surprised he's feeding his hearing aid to the dog if he has to take calls from that guy.
Thank you for that call, Andy. I appreciate that. 03444991000. Got a great story for you here, guys.
Oh, what's it about?
It's about some, you know, wine gums. It's shaped as balls and a penis. Balls and a penis. Wine gums in the shape of balls and a penis. They're black. What flavour are the black ones? Are they different flavours?
Yeah, blackcurrant. I prefer them. But they do give me a headache, the...
they make me very sick.
The dark
plastic.
Purples.
What is it... So they have different flavours?
Mm.
All gone schlong.
Ask Eamon Holmes. He knows about the flavours.
A mum was stunned to find a wine gum...
Stunned.
Shaped like...
If she's a mum, she's seen one before. Least
shaped
once.
Like a fella's meat and two vegetables.
Who calls it that?
Becky Crocker, 34, pulled the phallic fruit-flavoured treat out of the bag on a family car trip and it made her horny. She initially thought three of her favourite black wine gums... had stuck together before she saw its rude shape and burst out laughing. It's too small to do anything, though. It's this small. It's too tiny to...
Just a funny shape. What's the matter with you?
It's too tiny
just
to be
shape.
Used as a pleasure. What we used to call marital AIDS until AIDS came along.
Oh, stop.
It's true, though, isn't it? That was when it stopped. You used, like, vibrators and stuff were called marital aids, and then AIDS came along, and so a sex shop with the word marital aids in the front, suddenly it was like, well, business stopped, so they called it...
No thanks.
Yeah, no thank you. The mother of two, who was setting off for Christmas shopping, she's left it a bit late, with her parents...
So wow, how old-fashioned.
Where is she from? Because I'm going to do an accent here. Somerset. Somerset.
Oh, good.
I'm from Somerset. I bought some snacks as we were going on a road trip with my six-month-old daughter. We were just handing the bag around and I took one out thinking I was in luck and I had a giant sweet. I was about to put it in my mouth. Then I realised I picked up three stuck together. I thought that was a bit much and went to separate them. But it was actually all one joined up sweet. When I saw what it looked like, a cock and balls, we all burst out laughing. It's not something you expect to find in a packet of wine gums. More like something you find in a bluey. Pornhub. I was showing it round. Both my parents loved it, especially my mum. Accountant Becky bought the packet of £1 Maynard's Bassett's wine gums from her local newsagent in Weston-super-Mare, Somerset. The three blackcurrant sweets appear to have been formed in the same mould but failed to separate at the factory. Becky said, "My favourite ones have always been the black ones." You couldn't get any closer to the shape of a penis.
Oh, my God.
Maynard's have been approached for comment. Well, that's great. So she found, just in case you missed that, it's a young lady, Becky Crocker, who's 34. Just in case you've just tuned in, just read the story there of Becky Crocker, 34, from Somerset, who was out Christmas shopping with her parents and her young daughter, was passing around the bag of Maynard's fruit wine gums.
I don't think we need a recap.
Wine gums.
Yep.
And she pulled out her favourite black ones. And they were in the shape of a black penis and balls. And as she says in her passing shot, "My favourite ones have always been the black ones." She couldn't get any closer to the shape of penis. Maynard's have been approached for comment.
What but did
as
they
of,
say
as
to
of
them?
Yet,
what did they say?
As of yet, there is no comment. And that story was by Emma James from The Sun.
And the headline?
The headline is, well, there's lots of different headlines. Sweet treat, wine plums. Ooh, that's fruity. The text under the pictures, all gone shong. And willy-shaped fruit gum. And just in case you've just tuned in and missed it, that was the story of a young mum, six-month-old daughter, young mum, who was looking for a delicious sugary sweet candy in America. And it looked like a male genital. And she was in a car with her, just in case you just tuned in, she was in a car with her mum and dad. She's 34. We don't have the age of her parents. We do know her daughter is 6 months old. And they were off, Christmas shopping. And she thought it was one big sweet when she first saw it. And it was actually three that hadn't broken off in the mold and choked in. So it's two round ones, mm-hmm. like the, imagine the balls on a cock of a man, as drawn by a child.
You know, if you watch porns, that.
Yeah, but less active. And a lot drier.
Oh, God.
And that's Becky Crocker there, 34.
That's what she pulled out.
Whilst on a shopping trip, Christmas shopping trip. Travelling to a Christmas shopping trip.
Just wanted a sweet treat.
Yeah, wine gum, fruit gums, wine gums. It was wine gums, excuse me. And, put her hand in.
Yeah, what did she pull out?
Three stuck together, a cock and a balls. One cock, two balls.
What have you pulled out? 0344-499-1000.
And the reason we're asking that question is this story in today's Sun about Becky Crocker, who is 34 years old. A mum was stunned to find a wine gum shaped like a fella's meat and two veg. Becky Crocker, 34, pulled the phallic fruit-flavoured treat out of the bag on a family car trip. She initially thought three of her favourite black wine gums had stuck together before she saw its rude shape and burst out laughing. So she was not offended. She had a good old laugh about it, and I think that's
the spirit.
Brexit or no, that is the spirit. Whoever wins tomorrow, that's the spirit. The mother of two, and this next paragraph kind of sets the scene. The mother of two, who was setting off for Christmas shopping with her parents, said, she was from Somerset, "I bought some snacks as we were going on a road trip with my six-month-old daughter. We were just ending the burger round, and I took one out thinking I was in luck. I had a giant sweet. I was about to put it in my mouth, then I realised I picked up three stuck together. I thought that was a bit much and went to separate them, but it was actually all one joined up sweet. When I saw what it looked like, we all burst out laughing like cotton balls. Look like granddad's cotton balls! Not something you expect finding a packet of wine gums. I was showing it round to both my parents who loved it, especially my mum. She said it reminded her of her boyfriend before my dad." Accountant Becky, that's her job, she's an accountant, bought the packet of £1 Maynard's Bassett's wine gums. I hope she kept a receipt. From her local newsagent in Western Supermare in Somerset. The three blackcurrant sweets appear to have been formed in the same mould. This kind of goes, this is very technical, goes into how these sweets are made. It appears to have been formed in the same mould, failed to separate the factory. Becky said, my favourite ones have always been the black ones. You couldn't get any closer to the shape of a penis. Maynard's have been approached for comment. And that story by Emma James there, it would appear Maynard's have failed in their duty of care to return with a comment. So, the question we're asking on the back of the story about Becky James, 34.
Becky Crocker.
Who found, Becky Crocker, I do apologise, 34, who found phallic-shaped wine gums.
Mm-hmm.
In a packet of £1 Maynard's wine gums. The question we're asking is,
what have you pulled out? 0344 499 1000.
Yeah. It's an interesting story, though, isn't it, about Becky Crocker?
Which story is that?
It's a story about, some of you may have just tuned in, and may have missed it. Pete's just called in. Pete, good evening.
Good evening.
Can I just recap that story for you?
Please do, yeah.
Okay.
Because it wasn't enough of a hate crime before.
Okay. I tell you what, let's make it a bit of fun.
Let's see what we read.
What was that, Pete? You're going to get 10 questions, okay? And your score out of 10 will determine, as to how decent a human being you are.
Oh, dear.
What's the young lady's name?
Becky Crocker.
One. How old is Ms. Crocker?
34.
How old is Ms. Crocker's...
baby.
Baby.
Two.
Oh, mate, that's rubbish. She's 6 months. Long. What did she find in a packet of sweeties?
Cock and balls.
I'll accept that. It was actually a wine gum in the shape of cock and balls.
It would be very unusual to find...
How much did the wine gums cost?
Genital.
They cost £1.
Correct.
And where did she buy it from?
Poundland.
She bought it from her local news agents in Western Supermare in Somerset. What's Becky's job?
Oh, God knows.
I have to take an answer.
Have a guess.
Bricklayer.
She's an accountant. It's 4-3. When she saw what it looked like, what did everybody in the car do?
Laugh.
Burst out laughing. We'll accept laugh. Yeah. Yes, of course we will.
And she said, it's the closest thing to a blank. What's blank?
I'm not sure I'm allowed to say.
You're allowed to say it. We have a dump button, as you know, you potty mouth pervert.
Dildo.
Oh, my God.
But what is it? Well, but what is a dildo in the shape of?
A penis.
Couldn't get any closer to the shape of a penis. We'll give you that. And the final question, what did her mum say it reminded her of?
Her dad's penis.
It was her boyfriend before her dad. You scored 6 out of 10 there, Pete. Thank
Congratulations.
You so much. Thank you so much for playing. Is there anything else before we cut you off?
Do we want to talk a friend?
No!
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Kath, what have you brought to this...
I believe.
...party?
What have you pulled out? 0344 499 1000. Man pulls out giant 32-foot tapeworm from his bottom while using the toilet. Warning, graphic content.
Although,
too late.
Be honest, Sam, if you were on the loo and you finished, we won't go into detail, but then there was something there and you pulled it, like you were pulling a thread on a knitted jumper,
mm-hmm.
and it kept coming out. You'd get some pleasure from pulling a 34-foot thing from your ass, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course.
It'd be very sad. I mean, it'd be gross. But it just, you just keep going, oh, God, how long is this?
What, if you started unravelling?
Yeah.
Like a jumper.
And once you got to, like, 6 foot,
yeah.
you think, well, I have to keep going now. I cannot
what if it's
stop
mouth-
with a six-foot worm hanging out my ass.
What if its mouth's attached to your brain and you're like, boom.
That's the risk you take, I suppose.
Do you want to see a picture?
I do. I really, really do. Yeah. Well, there's no context. That needs to be near a 50 pence piece.
Hang on.
It just looks like...
It won't be in a near a 50 pence piece because it's from Thailand.
All right. A 50 shandong piece.
What? There.
I put it next to a ladyboy. That's racial.
Oh, no. Come on.
That's racial.
Yeah.
No, my name is Rachel.
This is the disgusting 32-foot-long tapeworm. Imagine it, if you will, dear listener. It's disgusting, and it's a 32-footer. A horrified man pulled out of his backside while using the toilet. Kritsada...
Who put it up there is what I want to know. How do you get a 34-foot worm up your bum and not notice it? This guy loved it.
You eat something, and it grows.
You eat a 31-foot tapeworm.
Victorians used to eat tapeworm, didn't they, to lose weight?
They did, actually.
And then...
Yeah, Victoria did, your sister.
Get a pencil...
Victorians.
And with some ham on it, and then they would tempt it up. You put the pencil in your mouth.
I don't know if this bit's true.
Yeah, it's true. And the tapeworm would pop out and bite the ham, and then you just roll it.
I don't know
if
that's
true. And now it would pop.
No, I don't think that's true. Is that horrible histories?
It's true. I can't remember where I've heard it, but it's true.
No, I don't think that one's true.
It's true.
You can't leave, like, a little bit of cheese on your tongue, and it comes out.
Not on your tongue. It would probably work.
You're telling me a tapeworm is going to smell ham in between your teeth.
Yeah.
And it's going
to... No. On a pencil.
Yeah, in between your teeth.
Yeah, and then you roll it like a toilet roll.
Are you just walking around one day and all of a sudden it like just pops out of your mouth because it can smell
like
food.
Like an extra tongue. So you're like in a restaurant and you're having a bit of pizza and as you put the pizza to your mouth, suddenly it just disappears.
I don't think the Victorians ate pizza unless they're Italian Victorians.
Where'd the pizza go? Oh, that
tapeworm.
You're holding a coffee in front of you, then you go to stop it and it's all gone. Oh, that bloody table. Can I get a coffee? You just had one. Yeah, I know, but I didn't drink it. I saw you put it to your mouth. I've got tapeworm. Oh, mate, yeah, go on, have another one. You don't get a stamp for this one, though.
No. Kritsar-
I like the stamps. Yeah. I like the stamps in coffee houses. I don't know if Cafe Nero... You know what Nero is Greek for?
I know it's Italian for black.
Okay. That's great. That's great.
And that's
if that's what I'd asked.
And that's what they're talking about there.
If that's what I'd asked.
Yeah, but I don't think it's relevant.
Oh, do you not?
No.
Do you not?
No.
Let's try again then. What does Nero mean in Greek?
Don't know.
Coffee.
Coffee, coffee.
Checkmate.
Don't call me mate.
B.
Don't call me mate.
I'm calling you a B.
Why?
Because... Because I'm old-fashioned like that. B for best, mate. B for best, buddy. Checkmate, B.
B for biff you up.
B for a beaver. Beaver fever.
Flipping it, mate.
I got hot beaver fever. I got hot beaver fever. The only thing that's gonna cool me down is gonna be some loving tonight.
Oh, my God. Loving is this tonight. An original hit?
Loving tonight made me feel all right. I got the sweats, I can't sleep. What's it when you're hungry? I got the sweats, I can't sleep. My appetite has gone out the window. I look at your eyes and my knees start to tremble. I got hot beaver fever. I got hot beaver fever. I got hot beaver fever. And the only thing that makes me feel alright is your loving tonight. Only thing that makes me feel alright is your loving tonight.
Kritsada Ratprachum, 44, felt something sticking out of his bottom yesterday and soon yanked the live parasite free. The repulsed father from Udon Thani in northeastern Thailand described its texture as sticky and stretchy.
Sticky and stretchy.
Felt like I wasn't finished defecating, like something was left. Turns out there was something sticking out of my bottom, the freelance photographer said. Pictures show the long tapeworm wriggled up on the toilet. Kritsada took the snaps and then flushed the slithering parasite down the loo to find its next victim. Look at that!
Wow!
Look at that.
You can pack that in as soon as you like.
Loving her bush. He added, I just finished dropping my child off at school. That euphemism.
Yeah, baby.
And ran
you know what I mean.
Say that, do the thing about dropping the kid. That's a better one. Go on. just finished dropping this kid off at school. Do that again. He's also dropping the kids off at the pool, but go on.
He's in Thailand. Give him a break.
They don't have pools.
I had just finished dropping my child off at school.
You know what I mean. Can we do that again?
And ran some errands.
Right.
When I had to go for number two.
Yeah.
I got up to see what it was.
Yeah, baby.
Wriggling in his stomach. He said the worm, which he estimated to be 32 feet long, slithered on the cistern.
What?
But the dad is unsure how it got inside of him in the first place.
Come on.
Tapeworms are flat, ribbon-like worms that can live in your gut if you swallow their eggs or small, newly hatched worms.
I hate that.
Tapeworm infections are rare in the UK, but fairly common in other parts of the world.
It's not true.
The worms can occasionally spread to other parts of the body and cause serious problems.
Please.
But most are easily treated and won't cause serious problems. Tapeworms...
Oh. Right.
Wait, one more sentence. Tapeworms can grow up to 55 foot long and can survive in the intestine for 25 years.
There's a new... Did you hear today? I've just found it. There's a recording of Paul McCartney at school.
Yeah.
As a pupil.
Mm-hmm.
At primary school. Did you know this? This seriously came up today.
Mm.
And I'd like to play it for you now.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool. Right then. Does anybody know? I'm the teacher. Does anybody know? Who in 1800? Who the King of England was?
Oh.
McCartney! And that's where the recording ends.
Oh, that's nice. That's lovely.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Three, four, 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 nine, nine, 1000. Last show of the week from Catherine and myself before the adults come in and bore the pants off you. Talking about I don't know what. Let's go to Lee. Good evening, Lee.
Oh, all right, Ian. How's you guys?
It's all right. Oh, it's this geezer. This Muppet.
Wait. Listen to Muppet.
Yeah, you plonker.
Hello, Catherine.
What?
Oh, that's my type of woman. Come on, woman. Yeah, come on, people.
He's stirring something that hasn't been stirred for over 25 years.
I thought of a funny smell.
Waken the beast. Summon Godzilla.
Simon Templar.
Yeah.
What?
Simon Templar. Simon Templar.
Yeah, we got that one quite early on, mate.
Now you're joking. I ain't took you out of here. I ain't nothing.
We'll go, let me go through them. Smith and...
No.
Shut your face.
No.
Yes. Smith and...
No.
Smith and... Smith and his amazing dancing bear, Rimmer,
what?
Groom,
Smith,
Jordan,
Bear. Where's Simon in there?
Simon Smith and his
Simon
amazing
I'm not bear. Saying the Simons to save time.
What?
Too late.
Smith and his amazing dancing bear. Rimmer.
No, I don't want to go through him again.
Well, you don't. You obviously need it, because Templar's midway down the league, and you've just said it.
All right, then. I'm a cab driver. Me name's Simon.
I didn't ask I didn't ask for your CV.
I'm Simon.
You're not. Your name's Lee.
No, I lied to you.
Oh.
Simon.
Well, you're not famous. You're annoying.
Who are you? My wife?
You wish. You'd love that.
I do, actually.
Yes,
I do.
I'm
I could do
looking
with a
guy.
Listen.
Yes.
What? Right.
Yes. I get the feeling you've got nothing of import to say, but you're going to keep saying stuff anyway.
Lazy tiger.
That got your hand hovering, didn't it?
Yeah, hovering into a fist, ready to come punch you.
Now listen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Let's
you're right.
Let's have a word.
She's reading my mind.
Let me have a word in your shell, like.
Locked it. You know your
Do you know anywhere I can get a pistol?
On Saturday.
On what? On Saturday, yes.
Yeah.
2:30, it'll be live on Periscope. You can watch it on Periscope 2:30 on Saturday.
No, I'm on about, like, going there. I know where you're going to be.
The Half Moon in Putney. It's not really a secret. 2:30.
But, I'd like to come. Don't go south of the river.
Actually, no. Lee, I think you'll find that that's an old meme that actually no longer holds true in most of London's
it's
black cabbies.
It's never been true. It's never been true. I come from a family of cab drivers. My dad, he only retired 2 years ago.
I should have retired a lot earlier. Not old people driving cabs or driving cars. You should retire. Yeah. You're too old.
I'll tell you what, he'd knock you out. He's a big boy.
Oh, he's a violent thug, is he? I'll report him to the police for threatening behaviour from a pension. Anyway, look, I've got a couple of things to ask if you just shut up. Everyone stop shouting. Leave it, Kathy, ain't worth it. And this guy really
Right, here we go.
Yes, sir.
I had to get two of our cats, what is it, anesthetized?
Euthanized.
You didn't
put down, is
killed.
It? Killed.
Killed. Yeah. Killed.
It was cats killed, yeah. It was left to me.
Please tell me you took them to a vet and they did it properly. It weren't just two bricks or a sack.
Or a bloke from the pub.
No, a fist. I've got my fist. No, of course I didn't.
Don't even joke.
I'm a gentleman.
I have, as we know, I won't tell the story again, but I have put a kitten out of its misery with a brick.
Yeah, I've heard you stole the cat, Teddy. What's wrong with you?
I did. It had been run over. It was in Spain, middle of nowhere. It had been run over, and its body was flat. I mean, literally, it was flat, like tire marks on it was flat, and it was alive, but it was barely alive. There were no chance of it being saved. It was in a lot of pain, and,
You should have worn it like a scarf.
Lee, you're horrible.
You're a disgrace to the industry.
What, and you stole his head in?
Yes, mate. You'd have done the same thing, because you're a decent guy. If you hadn't done Uber driver would have done, because they really are decent guys.
I'd have pulled a 45 out and shot it.
Okay, you probably do have one, being an old East End gangster.
Well, I'm a South London boy.
Get to the point of the call.
Lee.
If you shut up, I'll get to... I'll get there. So, I don't want any more animals. until
in the world, you miserable git.
They can design one
yes.
that don't shit everywhere and piss everywhere.
Oh, okay, Lee, thank you.
No, please, I've got another point.
What do you mean another point? You haven't made the first point yet. Don't add a bio. And Jim Davis don't have to put up with this. Why should I?
Anyway, as you know, I'm a London cab driver.
Yeah, you haven't mentioned that yet.
If you... Shush, please, shush.
What? Oh, hang on, my Uber's just arrived.
You spoke about Uber the other day. You spoke about Uber the other day.
You just said
it
twice.
And I'll tell you what. I was driving along and my fist was clenched.
What a violent
and
man.
And I thought,
what a horrible
if
violent...
I see this piece of...
What a horrible, violent family.
No.
You and your father, horrible, violent family. Disgusting. You disgust me. You disgust me from the lower socioeconomic rungs of the ladder. Disgust
Stop
me.
It. These are your
anyway,
people.
These are not my people.
Even though I don't want a pet anymore, because yes. they, as I say... They
you find sheep what, quite sexually
what,
attractive.
What pet... Could I have any cat? Can't have a small dog, because it'd be very bored. It won't be able to see
have a fish.
Out of the window.
Don't get a blind dog.
Monkeys, well, they're a bit hard to get hold of now. Even though, when I lived in the Elkham Road, drugs. Top of Surrey Square, there was a pet shop.
Yeah.
And you could buy a monkey in there.
You could buy monkeys in pet shops.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Ian Lee, you'll never guess what.
Go on, babe.
My great-grandma used to live in the old Kent Road.
I probably knew her.
You might have.
Well, I've had it off with her.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't have known me because she used to call me Kathleen. She thought my name was Kathleen till the day she died.
That must have been who I, She sounds very familiar.
She would have been.
What pet can I have?
Shooter, cause I know a bloody grass, I'll shoot him up his bloody ass. Oh,
no, I've just realised.
Yes, Lee.
I had another point.
Okay, thanks very much. Good call. Maybe call us in 20. Maybe call us on March the 21st, 2020. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep. The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.